If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place. Because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing. And the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love that might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Love Island recap. I am your host, Kirsten McInnes, joined as always by the wonderful Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
I am good. Excited to talk about another great two episodes with my scheme sisters here on the podcast.
But you know, really sat here and before coming on, she's like, should I do scheme sisters or should I do a Caesar's promotion?
Yeah, but you just gave away my other one. I was going to be like, and we're ready for a promo from Caesar's. So prepared. Incredible. This is what you get when you bring in real talent to be on podcast. We have both of the Blooms, Angela and Mike. How's it going?
We're doing well. We've put our child to sleep and we're ready to like live our best adult life with
you
guys.
I'd be doing better if Angela didn't spill this entire glass of water in my lap for seemingly no reason.
Well, she was just flirting.
I was just flirting.
There's a difference, but we'll talk about that task. Where there was a fine line between like what constitutes passing a task. Julie did not need to dump a whole ass thermos out on poor Calvin's lap.
I'm glad that she did.
You hate Calvin.
I don't hate Calvin.
I'm only saying that because every time we mention Calvin or you mention Calvin on your podcast, Brian goes, "You hate him."
It's really Brian's fault. I was trying to like manifest it.
Scally just loves him so much.
I don't dislike him, and he has grown on me, I will say. But
I feel like we're both somewhere in the middle and convinced the other person is like the polar opposite on the scale.
Yeah, I think that is true. 100%.
He can do no wrong. He's a freckled biology expert. He knows the difference between lions and sheep, and that's all you need in a man.
I just feel like he is giving off the energy that Mike would give off if he were on Love Island.
I mean,
like
probably my closest analog,
with his dancing and his face.
I would 100% be doing that drill team step dance routine to try to cheer you up if you were disappointed by America.
Super pale body.
Yeah, nothing like a super pale scheme body sisters. On Love Island. Scheme sister.
Just gonna pepper it in there throughout the podcast.
I love it. Scheme sisters of the Club 96 of the Love Island podcast.
Yeah. Scheme sisters.
Hope everyone's ready for this like cluster whatever tonight.
I feel like if anything, I should have like linked up with Angela ahead of time and been like, okay, here's our secret. Our secret missions that we have to complete on the podcast and see if the boys catch on. But I obviously just thought of it right now. So,
all right. Now you took me and Mike's thing.
Yeah. Oh, no. I would die if that were true.
The thing is I fully believe it because Scally has the organizational skills and Mike has the like commitment to a bit. Like, they would do it.
As I'm looking on my left arm at the tattoo that I have.
Also, Lily's here. Apologies.
This is a dog-friendly podcast.
They should bring animals into the villa.
They did on UK. Did they? Remember that one time they all had dogs and they had to compete? And that one girl had to compete alone because she... what was her name? It was one of the bisexual women who... Anyway, going off topic.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
compete alone because she was bisexual?
No, she coupled up with somebody, but then that person left and she was alone then. Like, she coupled up with a woman and then that woman was like, oh, I don't know. It's not working. Bye.
Oh, yeah. She walked, I think.
She had a dog that she was supposed to train with her and she had to like make it do a bunch of tricks on herself by herself. And everyone else had partners
on herself.
See, when I think of animals on reality TV, I think of Big Brother Canada 4 when they had the English bulldogs and the kangaroos.
Oh, cute.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Weird, but cute.
I always go back to more old school Big Brother to the Ophelia, the house pig. But it also, I mean, speaking of Big Brother Canada, I think if these two episodes prove anything, especially in this later stretch, is like these random ass tasks are like the saving grace of the show.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know what you're getting outside of the Carrington, Lakin, Laurel stuff.
Yeah, I was genuinely laughing during Scheme Sisters. Like, it wasn't a joke to me.
Yeah.
I was taking it very seriously.
See, I liked it because it was a joke to me, but you know,
no, I
each their own.
Very much so kidding. It was hilarious, though.
So before the Scheme Sisters is where we did get, we got a little bit of talks ahead of time. We got Carrington and Bennett, and Bennett's like, I cannot.
They were like working out while they were talking during this segment, if I recall correctly.
I mean, that's like 90% of the show.
Yeah, sounds about right.
They were just very breathy.
I don't know. The first episode was all about like people giving their blessings to other, basically people giving their blessing to Bennett, because Carrington does it here. And then Kirsten's going to do it later, right? Of like, I give you my approval to go off and do whatever you want. So that was all about, you know, Carrington gave it here essentially to go after Lakin, which should have probably been like the first sign that Carrington wasn't going to pick her, but not going to stop him from doing some weird, sketchy hand holding with her later on in the episode.
Yeah. Good that he clued in Bennett before he clued in Laurel.
Yeah. Or I guess Lakin too.
I mean, do any of us understand Carrington? I don't.
No, but I did enjoy when the announcer used his name as like a verb.
I also like Toastington.
Toastington, yeah.
Confusington.
Confusington.
I feel like there was another one behind the second episode, like Indecisiveton or something.
Yeah, I'm enjoying those. Those are
something
fun.
Along those lines. All started when the great Malagory called him Clarington, you know? it all started somewhere. Obviously, they listened to this podcast, and that's where it came from.
Well, and it makes sense, actually. Clarendon stops your eyes from watering, and Carrington is making a lot of people's eyes water by making them cry with his douche bro ways.
Such douche bro ways.
Long walk to a short joke, I know.
I just love how you were like, they're not going to understand what the joke is, so I really need to spell it out.
It's very much so hashtag, what was it?
Hashtag this text will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
It's a little excessive for a hashtag.
That's the tweet.
That's it. That's the tweet.
Because there's no more characters.
Just a 240 character hashtag. So the other side of all of that was also Laurel and Kirsten really like bonding over the whole Carrington situation. And Laurel, yeah. I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, Laurel's like, she's honestly just a very precious little muffin.
And yeah,
just,
Laurel like, seems doesn't like she belong. Time traveled out of like an antebellum movie from the South and like is trying to make her way in this modern world. And she's getting deceived by men left and right who are not like the genteel Rhett Butler types that she's used to.
Yes, but also her eye rolls indicate that she is, in fact, from the 21st century.
Maybe she's learned. She catches on quick.
I mean, do you think eye rolls didn't exist before?
No, I think they did, but I think that they were kept to
the
yourself.
That's a great question. When was the eye roll invented?
It was always here, but Emily Post would say it's, you know, something you keep to yourself.
Were cavemen doing eye rolls?
I'm sure. It's a natural thing.
So then when did the eye roll go away and when did it come back?
I don't think it ever went away. I think it went away
with the plague.
Okay, enough. Canceled, Mike Bloom.
People were rolling their eyes for different reasons then.
Get out of here.
Oh my God. Oh no. So then, basically, Carrington is upset about the whole situation, but is also like, if there's a bad guy, it's me.
Yeah, that's the thing is that, like, it is tough. Like, I think with a lot of like the jerky guys out there. I mean, I think
said Jane, the white cis male.
I mean, I think Jane was the jerkiest person on the season, I would say, from like a blanket perspective. And it's this weird thing where like guys like Carrington like are acting like asses, but they're acknowledging of it. It doesn't make it necessarily better, but it makes you feel a little bit better that at least they know their behavior is reprehensible as opposed to someone who's like, I'm the good guy in this situation. You know, like something like James might do earlier on.
Yeah, like, I don't think he's wrong in that he's saying that, like, oh, all of the girls are telling Lakin that, like, oh, they would be a good fit, and I really see it, but then as soon as Laurel's around, like, nope, you're the asshole. And, like, that's not wrong, but, like, also, you kind of got to deal with it if this is what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, girls are going to girl talk, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, it's not about, like, girls and boys. It's about nobody wants to be in that awkward situation. Like, people just want to avoid the awkwardness, and it's easier to be like, yeah, Carrington sucks.
Especially when you live in a, when you're in a situation where, like, you are living together 24/7.
And the girls also don't want to be catty with each other. Like, that could make their lives hell. So they're just going to support each other, and then it'll be fine.
Though this, in this case, it seems like it's like Laurel and Kirsten versus everyone else sort of being on Team Lakin at the moment.
I think that Justine and Sally just walk around just being positive about everything. So if they're having a conversation with Lakin, that's like, Lakin's like, oh, I am super into Carrington. They're going to be like, yeah, you guys seem great together. And then 5 minutes later, if Laurel's like, Carrington's being such a dick, they're gonna be like, yeah, he's such a dick. Like, that's just their vibe. They just are not gonna, they're not gonna stir it up. They're just gonna live there. They're happy. They don't care. They just want to, like, be pleasant.
I mean, to be fair, it's tough to tell what Sally is really, whose side she's on, because she has a bunch of marshmallows crammed in her mouth. And oh, so it's God. Really tough to hear her to speak
or sing, because she sings a lot.
Yes, at all times she is playing Chubby Bunny. Not that one time.
Galt?
Yes, yeah, like, you put as many marshmallows in your mouth and you try to say
it's
Chubby Bunny.
You put a marshmallow in your mouth and then you say Chubby Bunny, and then you, like, so continue funny. Going to see how many marshmallows it takes until you can no longer say Chubby Bunny properly.
When I was younger, my mom used to just, like, push my cheeks together so that it was like this, and she'd make me say rubber baby buggy bumpers.
So that's more child abuse.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah, that, I'm very troubled about that.
But I
so we're already
at. So everyone was always just like, your cheeks are so cute when I was little. And yeah, we do the same to Asher. So whatever.
People always said that my cheeks were so cute when I was younger. And then I was like, awesome. But when will they go away?
When will they go away? Yeah, they went away around seventh grade when I, like, hit puberty. And then they came back again.
I was going to say, mine never went away and I'm still waiting.
I had this, like, year of my life where I, like, dropped so much weight. I was like a size zero. I was like, looked like anorexic for like a hot second. Then all of a sudden it was like, okay, you hit puberty, you lost weight. Oh, by the way, here are hips. Oh, by the way, here are your cheeks back. Oh, sorry, never mind. Here's the weight. It's just, like, so cruel.
That's scary. That honestly sounds like a scary medical situation.
No, I just, like, shot up really quickly. And then, like, so it was like one of those puberty situations.
Yes, but you were like a basketball player for a hot sec.
I was the tallest girl in the class. I was, like, feeling my life.
Wait, how tall were you?
I was 7'3".
I hit I'm currently 5'7", and I hit that in, like, sixth grade. Like, it was like I was red. I was done by then.
That's so funny, because I also am 5'7", but I didn't hit it until, like, ninth grade. So, yeah, like, end of seventh grade, I was, like, 4'10". And then, like, start of eighth grade, I was, like, 5'3", 5'4". And it was, like... It was very startling.
That's what I'm talking about. And I did a lot of dance when I was younger too. So it was like at one moment in my life, I was like, yes, I'm going to be a prima ballerina. And then quickly my hopes were dashed.
Oh no. See, I mean, it wasn't startling for everyone else because we moved that summer. So the people who met me just thought I looked like that. So
they only knew that 5'3" Kirsten, not 4'10" Kirsten.
They never knew me under 5 feet. And then the next year it was like 5'7", boom. And then it was like
a rap lyric. Never knew me under 5 feet.
Scheme sister.
Scheme sisters look.
And speaking of scheme sisters, I guess we should explain what that is for the people who are listening to the podcast but not watching the show. So all of the women got secret missions, schemes, as it were, that they need to complete in order to win a prize. So they have the list of schemes, and everyone got to choose the ones that they wanted. Laurel chose to deflate a floaty in front of the boys and convince a boy to inflate it.
I thought this was probably one of the harder ones. Like, I'm not sure why she wanted it.
It's also probably the worst executed one, because it's a pool floaty. It belongs in the pool. Laurel takes the floaty out, drags it over like, oh, I'm going to lay on this pool floaty naturally on land and very far away from any water. And then, oops, it deflated. Johnny, blow it up.
I liked it a lot because she's like, I'm bringing a bed. I'm tired. And it's like, there are cushions. But she brought this flotation device.
Well,
I liked how it was like, oh, it's deflating. Oh, no. Let me lay on it for 4 more minutes until all of the air comes out.
And then she goes, Johnny, you're so good at it. Please blow up the explodey.
Johnny does, you know.
The, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Johnny is full of hot air, so that's you
know. Johnny is sort of like rocking the 4'10" Kirsten look, so I think his lungs would be a bit smaller than like a Caleb.
And he, I guess that the main point about this is that this is a pool foley that's meant to be blown up with an air pump. Like, it has one of those huge holes.
Listen, Johnny is like a chode, and he's done a lot of crap.
Oh, my God.
Earn my ire.
Michael, get out of here.
But I do. What?
Are you back in, like, high school in 2007? Yes. Like, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I was in high school in 2007. And second, all this talk about puberty, I guess, sends me back.
You graduated high school in 2007. There's a difference.
But I think that, I do feel kind of bad that he was expected to your point, blow up this, like, thing that should be blown up by a machine instead of balloons.
Would it have counted if he had used the pump to blow it up?
The message specifically said you had to blow it up with your mouth.
Mm-hmm. I still think they let them get away with it. Pool party for everyone.
No, this is the ice cream.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She was thinking about the advertisement for Caesars.
I was thinking about the advertisement for Caesars. No, but I feel like this was a very challenging thing for him to have done, having done this over the summer with our son's baby pool, because we do not have a pump, and they did not give us one because it was a cheap ass pool I bought at Target, but I blew it up with my lungs. Thank you. You're welcome.
I think you should the pump is not that it goes on my rest to get. You could just buy one to use in your car.
I didn't though.
Oh my God. That's future makes me sad.
That's a small pool.
You should get a pump for the future.
We will.
I also appreciate it when he's like, I'm getting really lightheaded. And then you see him and he's just breathing in and out, not exclusively breathing in.
It was like a paper bag and he was like hyperventilating.
Like, you're breathing straight carbon dioxide. Like, there's no wonder.
Which we all know is very bad for you.
Calvin had a great, like, Jim Halpert look, too, of just like, what the hell is going on? Why did they start the day off like this?
Yeah, I guess this was morning, right?
Well, I wonder, did they have to go in order of the tasks that were presented, you know?
I mean, who knows?
I mean, I don't think they showed them in any specific order, to be honest.
Because I would imagine, like, it would be weird for Justine to have to wait until the first three were accomplished to then do her weird, like, running around on ecstasy, hugging and kissing everyone.
Yeah, that was strange. What was also strange was... Moira needed to get a boy to feed her grapes.
And Moira.
So she chose this to so accomplish.
Sad. I just feel so bad for her now.
She chose to accomplish this by laying on the table with the grapes five inches away from her face, going, I need more grapes. And then
this is like very much the mood of me while I was pregnant and also currently. Like, there are times when I will just be laying in bed and my water. The bottle still has water in it, but I'll lean over to Mike and be like, I'm just really desperate for water. And so now we've come to the conclusion that every time that I say I'm desperate for water, he has to go refill it for me.
It's sort of like a Pavlovian response.
Yeah. At this point. I didn't hear the word. So you know what? Props to Moira. She got it done.
Yeah, but it was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in quite some time.
Are you calling me pathetic?
Oh, no.
Wait, no. Did you not see when she wanted to talk to Bennett just a few days ago? That was more pathetic than this.
That is fair.
She just can't get it together.
Like, it's not even the most pathetic thing Moira did.
I love the zoom out where she's like, please, someone help me. And all like 15 Islanders are just staring at her.
Like, what's happening?
Like, the plan is obviously put the grapes like on the counter. Like,
you can be like, oh, can you hand me the grapes? And then when they bring them over to you, just like put your hands behind your back coyly and be like, nah, and like open
plus,
your mouth.
Like,
you
know, God, like you had an opportunity literally in the palm of your head with Calvin. Like, he is such a puppy for her. At this point, like, she
no, but he's playing it cool.
Just be like, instead of Caleb, who probably choked her at a certain point by shoving half a thing of grapes down her throat,
he thought she wanted to play Chubby Bunny.
He didn't take them off the stem, so she had three grapes in the stem in her mouth.
He just wanted her to shut up.
He did, yeah. Caleb is all about that, like, just get out of here. He's too real for that.
Oh no. So then we got Justine had to kiss every boy in the villa.
They love her so much.
That was much less salacious than I was very nervous because, of course, like everyone, we love Justine and Caleb. And I'm like, oh, my God, is she going to have to go around and kiss everybody on the lips? But no,
as it was, if that would rock their more so solid like, relationship, Michael.
I don't know.
How dare you?
But it was more like she was like, I don't know, like Belle in Beauty and the Beast, just like walking around, giving everyone a nice good morning kiss.
Does Belle do that in Beauty
and the Beast? I don't think. The references are not, it's not working. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Michael. I was hoping one of the single girls would go for that task and be like, okay, they're going to try and really
time on that one.
Yeah. Like they're going to try and do it.
I did enjoy Justine doing it though. When she went in the confessional booth with Johnny.
Johnny's like, are you supposed to be in here?
And she's like, no, probably not. And she's just like giggling. Like if anything was going to give it away, it was Justine in that moment. She like, couldn't keep it together.
I mean, give it away is a weird term because like I think everyone knew that something was up, but I don't think they could be like, oh, there's a specific mission where they must accomplish this set of tasks. You know,
well, if they had seen the show before, they would have known that.
That's true.
Did they do this last time in the U.S.? I can't remember.
I don't know if they did it in the U.S. I don't
think so. But also, I can't remember because everything was so boring last year.
I didn't even finish last year's season. I couldn't do it.
Last season was essentially like, except for the Caro of it all, essentially was like a cast full of Moiras.
Oh,
No, Moira's more exciting than most of the people.
It's true.
Actually.
And she's like, I find her like engaging in a very strange way these days.
Moira is one of those people you just like can't look away from sometimes.
Yeah, that's so true.
And ever since, like, since I've like created my theory that she's like a mastermind, I am like watching her extra closely.
You know, honestly, I do see that. Like, she has like, there's something behind the eyes. And I think that's why she lost it when America said she was like two-faced. She was like, they know.
Hell yeah. They exposed me.
Oh, God. There was also, so Lakin chose to do convince a boy who isn't your partner to give you a cuddle in bed.
Also, Lakin didn't choose this. If you recall, Lakin very, she specially says, like, oh, they gave me this one.
I actually got assigned something else. Like,
yeah, that's what she kept saying. Yeah, 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 exactly.
Do you think there was a hierarchy where like they're like seniority? Like, okay, new girls, you get these.
I think
tests.
It was whoever spoke up first because like Laura was like, oh, I'll do that. And then I think just Lincoln didn't say anything. So she got the cuddle in bed one.
So, which I feel like it made total sense for her to take it because she could easily accomplish this. But then could she? Because I don't think that what happened counted as a cuddle.
It was a hug and then a rotation of like 90 degrees. And that counts as a cuddle.
And Carrington is like, I don't understand what she's doing. I mean, I'm about it, but I don't understand what it is.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm hot AF about it. But why are you doing this right now?
Oh, no.
All right. Well, yeah.
Then we had Julia had to spill a glass of water onto a boy's crotch and she dumps her whole water bottle all over him. And he's just like, oh, hey.
I like that she played like she was casually unscrewing the bottom of her water. She always does that.
She's like, oh, my God, the bottom opens up. And then she'd like,
I don't know, maybe she could say that she was new. Like, oh, it's my second day here. I don't know how these water bottles work.
They're like, but who is this? I don't recognize you. Who are you?
They're like, are you OK? You don't know how a water bottle works?
To Kirsten's point, though, I think if you ever need a sign of how like the male species takes any action as some sort of measure of flirtation, no matter how platonic it is, look at Calvin, who got water spilled all over his crotch and took that as flirting with him for some reason.
I think Calvin's so starved for flirting, though. Mm-hmm. It's just like any interaction is like, oh, my God, someone's talking to me.
Yeah, his freckles just light up.
Ugh. You should have coupled up with the water. She's coming with this bottle of water.
No.
Well, at least the bottle of water is wet.
No.
Anyways.
To be fair, I do think we were all thinking.
I was trying not to say it. And then I was like,
you're just hoping Mike would say it.
Along. We'll get past it. And then I was like, we're not moving past it. I guess I must say it.
All I'm coupling up with is thirst quenching, gives me life. So I'm coupling up with this water bottle.
Yeah.
Well,
Good stuff.
Then the last one that we see is Sally has to get the boys to all dive into the pool, which is the perfect one for Sally to get since she's been like the acrobatics and aerobics and everything instructor this summer. So they all dive in. We never saw Kirsten's task. Do we remember what it was? Because I don't.
I don't know.
Maybe she didn't accomplish it, but they like scratched it, you know?
Yeah. Wait, what was her task? I really have no idea.
I'm assuming her task was to purposely leave Love Island, and that's why she told Bennett that he didn't need to pick her.
It definitely sounds like something that they would do when the audience really likes someone, tell them to leave. So then they win an ice cream social because they accomplish their tasks.
I think you mean they win
popsicles in a cart, because that ice cream is not popsicles.
We were quite upset by that. It was probably one of the more glaring moments of the episode for us, because we're very into ice cream and we were talking about how this is kind of lame, but also probably the best thing they've won. And then they wheel out a popsicle cart and it was just really sad.
I don't discriminate against ice cream treats and popsicles.
Wow. No, I was expecting like full scoopers, some toppings.
Yeah, like some sprinkles. Yep.
All of that would melt so fast. They're on a rooftop in Vegas in a heat wave.
As opposed to popsicles? What?
Yeah, at least a popsicle, though. Popsicle starts melting. It's like easy to take care of. If you've got like all of this ice cream out serving, I don't think it would be good. I think they would do it wrong and it would melt everywhere and it'd be bad.
I can't. Ice cream provides so many toppings that can also be used in a romantic fashion,
yeah,
right?
The whipped cream alone.
Like you know they're going to spray each other with chocolate sauce and whipped cream and caramel and everything.
What a weird wet dream are you referring to? Well,
Calvin and his water bottle would like to say something about
spray each other with chocolate sauce
and caramel.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say caramel stood out as the one that I wasn't so sure.
Mike knows this about me. I really am not a big chocolate person. Like in my childhood, I hated chocolate and now I'm like on it. But like, no, I'm not doing that for you ever. Sorry.
Well, listen, I wouldn't either. But I think these people, like there have been many, many a time when I'm pretty sure that was one of the truth or dare things that has come up umpteen times on these shows.
Ugh, I hate when people feed each other whipped cream out of the can.
What about grapes?
Gross. Grapes are fine. Whipped cream, gross. It's like, bleh.
The way that Mike said caramel there just made me think of Big Brother 12.
Oh God, yeah.
Did you say it weird?
That would be a way for that'd be a task. That should actually be a Love Island task. It's like sexily make your way through this like leaden caramel.
Mike would be like, I'm covered in the caramel, I'm ready to go, and then he would lay down for a second and get adhered to the turf.
Especially in Vegas. Ew.
Yeah, that's how someone dies, like from heat stroke after being adhered to the
tar. It's like tar and feathering, but after like caramel.
Caramel.
Oh, no.
They should do that next season is like one of the, you know, hey, stripping challenges would be like an ice cream challenge where you become the sundae.
Very creative, but I think not.
Honestly, I'm a little worried about Mike.
Same,
and also, by extension, Angela. Angela, are you safe?
I'm safe. I did give him a sip of my sangria, and he's quite a lightweight.
Yeah, a sip of sangria, and
I'm like Calvin awesome. With that straw.
He doesn't drink a lot. I'm kidding. We're fine. He's just in prime form. He's probably trying to show off for me or something.
Yeah, I want you to notice me.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I just looked over.
She just literally just looked down as I said, "I want you to notice."
Well, Angela, if you need help, just like blink twice or something.
Yeah, you'll definitely see it.
So we get a Bennett and Lakin conversation finally, and it's really great because Bennett has all the information and Lakin doesn't. So also, he's like,
I just want to say that I think that Bennett is very attractive in a very, very strange way. Like if I was in my eighth grade scene days, Bennett would have been very much so top of the charts for me.
Well, he is tall, which I think would match up naturally.
I do like tall people, but I don't know. I just think he's very attractive, but also they have zero chemistry, him and Lakin. Like he doesn't have chemistry with anybody in this villa and like least of all Lakin.
Yeah. I also think that Bennett is attractive. I just wish he would take out that dangly earring.
I am living for the cross earring.
Would you rather him take out the dangly one or the crucifix one?
I mean, I would rather there be no, like
I'm not an earring person.
I think ears are gross. And so I don't like anything that draws attention to ears. It's a thing about myself that maybe I'm telling people on a podcast for the first time, but I think they're really gross. And so I'm automatically, it's like a turnoff for me if a guy has earrings, because I'm like, ugh, ears.
I don't like earrings. I think when guys have like studs, I'm like really not into that. But for some reason, his little dangling crucifix during the rose ceremony, where am I? During the coupling up ceremony was right on point.
I don't know. He looked like a Christian rock.
Loved it. Very into it. It was cool. I liked it.
That is the wildest take.
Christian singer.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I would say that actually makes me less attracted to him now that you've said that, but whatever.
I mean, is the cross upside down or right side up? That I don't think it matters.
Black cross hanging from his ear.
He could be a Satanist band singer. You're
which
totally
is actually,
interested.
Which is very good. That's very good. I mean,
it's just so funny. Like, if anybody doesn't somehow know what Mike looks like,
he doesn't look like Bennett.
Go look at pictures of him on social media and then listen to his wife talk about how attracted to someone in a satanic band.
Guys.
I look exactly like Bennett, the Satanist.
No, my type is tall and geeky and gangly. Like, let's be honest. But if I'm talking about somebody on Love Island, like, that's a completely different story. You know?
Oh, I know. I'm just being a brat. It's fine.
Also, Angela said that Lakin like reminds her of Paris Hilton.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Big Paris Hilton energy.
Oh,
yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Or this is a very, very niche reference, and I don't know if either of you will get it, but she reminds me of Lauren Iaconetti, Ashley Iaconetti's sister from The Bachelor.
I do know it. I would have to look her up, though.
Yeah, so she was the only reason I like know what she looks like is I follow her on social media, but she was on one season of Bachelor in Paradise. Like, she brought her sister with her.
I feel like she has the personality part something, but she looks so much like Ashley Tisdale.
She looks just like
Lauren. She does look like Lauren.
I very much see it.
But I think and they have the same type of voice. It's a little bit like nasally, a little bit like forced.
A forced voice.
No, it is. She's putting on like a voice. Like, I doubt she always talks.
It seems like she's really like talking with her, like in her head, not in her throat. Yeah. And like, this is the voice that she uses when she's talking to men. So she seems like different.
Yeah, she does sound like Johnny running out of air as he tries to blow up a 40.
Yeah, I feel like she's using like head voice, not like throat voice.
Well, that's more attractive. Right?
Is it? Because I don't think I've ever done that before in my life until right now.
I don't even know how.
So you guys all just heard it. Which sounds better for me? Is it my normal voice?
They're the same.
No, diaphragm is sexy.
I like when your mic messes up and we get deep voice Kirsten.
It's my voice. I was scared that my mic was messing up again and you wouldn't tell me. Because I know that you would fully not tell me and then it would be a whole podcast of deep voice Kirsten.
Sorry, I had to go pick up the dog.
We're talking about DBK, deep voice Kirsten.
That is what we call it on my stream mic.
Did you come up with that?
No, I just came up with it.
Yeah, of course. He constantly is making acronyms out of everything. It's very
annoying. I want Mike to know that on my streams on Twitch, when my mic does that and puts me into deep voice Kirsten, my chat goes DVK, DVK. Oh, like, that's ordinary. Yeah.
You said an acronym. I was like, of course you came up with it.
because he didn't know. But
no,
it also was already a thing. Sorry, back to Bennett and Lakin. Lakin's like, yeah, I haven't gotten an answer from Carrington, so I guess I'm interested in you.
These two girls they didn't come into a good situation.
I feel like it's more like, you're definitely my second choice, but if Carrington doesn't give me an answer later, then I'll come back to you.
But I enjoy how in the next episode, she's telling Carrington and she's telling Bennett, like, you were the top of my list. And she's like telling Carrington, I did not want to be around you, but then liked you. And now I know that you're shit. So Bennett it is.
I have a feeling that Bennett and Lakin will not be, making it through.
No,
the long haul.
No, unless he gets his like Satanist cult to vote him. I don't think they're making it past fifth place.
He's not a Satanist.
How big do you think a Satanist cult would be?
I don't know, like 600 people, 666 people.
No. It's like five people in a basement. Be serious. I do not have a Satanist cult. I'm just
Angela does, and it's five people in her basement.
I don't have a basement.
We should probably let them know.
That sounds like a very informed take.
Yeah.
Well. No. JK.
JK. In better news, we get some Justine and Caleb content.
Not a moment. I was a little nervous for them coming into this week with like the push for a popular vote, but I feel like these two episodes like were all about them, which is great.
Finally.
I mean, Dane.
Yeah, I've been worried because I feel like they kind of took a back seat, and I think that maybe they finally heard us and started highlighting them a lot more in these two.
Well, and with the hideaway vote, I mean, I think that everyone else is probably on the same page. Yeah,
and it also
now
helps that, like, the Selly and Drami, the Drami.
Drami. Oh,
all right, we're going to call him Drami from now on. But that whole situation is now, like, resolved. We had the whole girlfriend proposal. So, like, there's not much story to eke out of them outside of, like, them talking about going on coffee dates later on. So it seems like they can really now take the time to focus on, like, oh, yeah, Justine and Caleb are sort of, like, that old, reliable car that was there the entire time, but we were focusing on, like, you know, the stuff that required more attention but was more flash in the pan.
You know how to drive? Like, what was that analogy?
It's so funny because I was thinking the same thing. I was just like, said the person who has no idea what's inside of a car.
I'm assuming an engine.
I'm assuming an engine. I'm assuming a few seats, maybe
perhaps
some belts,
wheels,
perhaps a steering wheel, maybe some
tires. Yeah, I could be like the podcasting world so much, like,
there's
dirt on Mike Flynn's history with cars.
You can,
like,
use your feet to run.
Yeah, like the Flintstones, yeah. Exactly.
That's, I learned everything I learned in life. I learned from the Flintstones.
Let's just say that I'm the handy one in the family.
And I'm the footy one.
Exactly.
Which I used to run my car.
Anyway, so back to Justine and Caleb. It's actually like a very sweet, like, deep conversation where Justine talks about being born in the Congo and how they left when there was war. She doesn't really remember.
I will say
there
that it's a little strange that this is the first time she's brought it up, because I was very certain that he already knew about all this.
I had the same thought, and I'm like, was this cut from earlier?
Yeah, maybe? Exactly.
This is like actually episode four
it
material.
It did seem like a conversation they were, like, the way they were having the conversation was like, let's learn about each other. And I was just like, I feel like they know this already.
Yeah, even besides that, like, they start talking about their siblings. And yeah, I agree. You think that would be like a conversation number three or four topic instead of what, like 60 at this point?
Yes, but I will take any Jaleb content that I can get, and I will take it happily.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about it showing up here, but I do get the sense, like, the way that they were interacting made it seem like that they were more comfortable with each other, but the conversation content definitely seemed like an early days conversation.
Well, and the thing too, though, is that they always have seemed very comfortable together, like, from the moment they coupled up.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
It's easy to slot, like, conversations in at different times, and so to me, this is an indication that production is understanding what the audience likes at this point, and is actually giving them more.
Yeah, footage. Or somebody was like, can you just reiterate that conversation that you guys had earlier in the season? Just, like, rehash it. Like, some sort of production.
The disparate ages in your siblings.
It is wild that her sisters are, like, much older than her, and Caleb has a 9-year-old sister.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I find it much more wild that Caleb has a 9-year-old sibling, considering I think he's, like, 24 or something.
It's a big gap.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, personally, if I were to have another child, and it would be, yeah, no, that's not happening. If I were to, like, if Asher was Caleb, and, or Asher, yeah, Asher's Caleb, and, like, we had another baby, like, and he, no thanks.
Yeah, that's a big gap. I know my dad's
how do you go back?
Like 16 years older or something, and he would always tell... He would tell everyone that she was secretly his mom.
Oh my God.
And she would get so mad. So yeah.
Oh my God. Well, that honestly
that's
just
very
tells
funny,
us more
like,
about you than anything. Like, that's no wonder you're so mischievous.
Wow. We're talking about a scheme sister.
Meanwhile, my scheme sister used to tell everyone she was adopted.
I used to tell everyone my sister was adopted, like, but that's because she's like a little bit crazy.
You would think that she would be like, yeah, my sister's adopted. She's not part of this family. But no, she would be like, I'm adopted.
Yeah, that's more insulting to your family, I think.
I guess it's fair enough. I don't know. She looks exactly like our dad.
So. That's what I was. And like, does she look like you? I was going to ask. I don't even know.
She definitely look like family. Like there is a resemblance, yeah. But like she has, her hair is darker than mine and she has like brown eyes and like actually can get a tan without burning.
Unfamiliar.
Up. It's just not familiar
not
to
something
me.
That the Blooms know about.
No, siree.
No, siree.
I showed Mike for the first time the movie Notting Hill. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the film.
Julia Roberts, Hugh Grant flick.
Are you familiar?
I actually have to expose myself that I haven't seen Notting Hill.
I know
that it's exactly like it's my shit. I know that it is, but I'm just really busy rewatching Legally Blonde and 10 Things I Hate About You Until I Die.
Choices, good choices. I would just say that there is a moment where Hugh Grant says whoopsie daisies and she makes fun of him pretty excessively for it because that's crazy. Nobody says that.
That's kind of like in Legally Blonde where she calls him a butthead and he goes, I've been called a butthead.
Yeah. A long time. I use that term a lot actually because I don't curse that much. I'm not like a big curser. So I'll be like, you butthead. Anyway. Back on track, right?
I love that. Anyways, I don't think anyone who had listened to the Too Hot to Handle coverage, which I'm assuming everyone who listened to that is also listening to this, they know what they're getting into with this podcast, and they are loving it. I can already tell.
If they don't, then welcome. Hi, nice to meet you. We're insane. Enjoy.
Sorry, we have to get back to talking about Bennett and Julia, the most interesting couple in the villa.
You know what sucks, though? I think Julia is, like, the most attractive person at this point that came into the villa. Her and Kirsten, I think, are like top of my list. Obviously, Justine is the queen, so like whatever. She's a
notch above the rest.
Yeah, like
not the rest of the court.
I just found Julia so pretty, and I was just like amazed that everyone went for Lakin instead.
I thought that Calvin was going to go for her because he looks like Archie, and she kind of looks like Veronica, and then Moira could be the Betty, and then it like really is a whole thing.
Wow.
That's how couples are decided.
Oh, and Johnny is the Gargoyle King.
Spoilers! No, in the show.
I watched one episode to be on Kirsten and Mary's podcast. Thank you very much.
I think I watched that with you and had to explain a few things.
Jailhouse Rock is in football game.
You to watch my favorite episode of Riverdale where they experience the trials and defeats, the highs and lows of high school football. In prison.
So prison. Yeah.
So who do we think, like, I guess now that everyone has sort of gone through, in retrospect, because I think to your point, Angela, I think that Julia could have been someone that, like, I mean, Lakin could have been someone that caused a bit of drama as well. Is there anyone in retrospect that, like, you would have switched with those two girls?
What do you mean? Like somebody at Casa Amor?
Yeah, I feel like they would have been good fits for Casa Amor. Like, they might have had a better shot in that twist than some of those women did.
Yeah, because like Cher, for example, like she did all right, but like she was fairly
or Gigi.
It's Cher came into the house from like to the villa from Casa Amor, but then couldn't really back anything up. And I think that like, if Julia like or Lakin had been there, they would have been able to maybe make it last a little bit more after coming in.
Exactly. Yeah, they would have been like not as bored with the whole situation,
well, especially with Julia, because like if you're trying to ship Julia and Calvin was the one who brought Cher in when he and Moira were sort of like on the off of the on off relationship.
I just still don't understand why Bennett went for Lakin and not Julia. I just don't see Bennett with Lakin.
I think they hadn't talked really. Like, I think that we might have seen only this conversation because it was the only time they ever talked.
Perhaps, but I shipped them more aesthetically.
You just have it out for a blonde woman. I see how
what
it
are you talking about?
It's blonde, thank you very much.
You're literally telling you 3 days ago how much Asher was obsessed with blondes.
You're not Asher.
I'm not, but I did send you shampoo in the mail that's specifically for
that's
blondes.
True,
so.
You did. Angela was very helpful in smuggling skincare that's not FDA approved in Canada to me.
Yeah, it was probably like one of the highlights of the summer. was being able to send you a little care package.
It was so cute. And
it sucked, though, because I couldn't find anything. Like, I was, like, in Target, like, trying to buy things for her. Like, I found her a little mask.
Yeah, she sent me a mask, and it's really cute, and it's definitely the cutest mask I have. She sent me samples from Sephora. I was expecting nothing. I was expecting just send me the same old box that they sent with nothing. No, like, that's no, great. No. I don't even care. I don't need anything. And when there was a face mask, I almost cried because I was like, someone is thinking about me. That's so nice.
I know you love your skincare. It's important to you.
Right. I do.
Yeah.
And
what are we talking about?
Something that's almost as important as skincare. Laurel and Carrington. Because they have to follow up on the conversation they had the other day, which was, again, not a conversation, but Carrington actually trying to have a conversation and Laurel being like, ugh. Rolling her eyes and that kind of thing.
I will say it's a little rude that they played Big Girls Don't Cry underneath this. Like, yeah. Doesn't look too editorializing.
I mean, it's probably one of the songs they can afford.
I don't know.
They can afford any song. They
have such, like, iTunes ADD that they are playing 10-second snippets of song, especially during the recoupling.
It's
like a different song for each announcement.
And I will say that this, you guys were talking about this, I think, like, last week or something, where you were saying, like, this is where you get your like new music from. Mm-hmm. I will say this is where the best covers come from, though. There are some killer bops.
They had the scariest cover of Toxic, though.
But I think by far, bar none, best one, number one with a bullet, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
I was gonna cue that up at the recoupling. It was like the weirdest thing. Worst cover of Twinkle Twinkle Little Star happened on Big Brother this summer.
I was gonna say the only worst cover of Toxic happened with Will Schuster and all his kids on Glee.
Oh Lord.
But here's the thing, that version of Toxic sounded good. It was just really, really creepy.
Yeah, this one was cool. Like, that's what I'm saying.
That,
like,
one was creepy from a predatory perspective.
This was creepy from, like, a spoopy perspective.
No, this one was creepy from, why are we doing this? This is a nursery rhyme.
I'm talking about Toxic,
Mike. We've moved on.
Is Toxic not a nursery rhyme for you guys?
It is spoopy season, guys.
Spoopy. I'm so happy you know that. Spoops.
Spoopy.
Sorry, I've had my whole sangria, so we're in it.
I love it.
You're putting your leg on the chair that I'm sitting in.
I'm lounging.
She's legitimately reclining right now, holding a mic freehand like she's a damn DJ at 11 a.m. kicking it back.
Well, Michael, you know what you have to do. You have to feed her grapes.
That's true. All right, let me.
She's desperate for water.
I might be crying right now.
Strong sisters. So Scally, sorry, we got lost in this Laurel Carrington confrontation. Can you bring us back?
No, I was gonna say, I like when Carrington's talking to her and he's like, "I'm so confused. You're literally the perfect girl, but I really need to figure this out." It's like, I don't think that you're using perfect correctly here. Maybe, I don't know. Like,
what is his career again? Is he a salesperson?
He's a salesperson.
Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm.
I still cannot get over Carrington saying that Lakin had a unique look. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, literally,
the tears are coming again.
Big girls don't cry.
They do, and they are. No, I 100% wrote that. Was like the one note I took, was he said that she had a unique look.
So does a giraffe.
Yeah, like no, but also she does not.
Like, a giraffe actually is unique. Like, that's a strange animal.
Her hair is like,
she is a blonde white woman
with like Hillary Duff haircut
and like fillers and lip injections.
She does have a bit. Yes, very. I mean, I'm not saying she's not attractive. She's very pretty.
No, she's stunning, but she's not like,
she's not unique.
She's not one of the people where you'd be like, she's attractive, but not in a conventional way. Like, it'd be like, she is conventionally attractive. She's beautiful. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the way she looks. It's just like,
That's what I would say about Moira, too. Like, I think she's very pretty, but she's totally a girl next door. And it's like, there are types, and it's she's not unique. Yeah. Anyway. I mean,
in the villa, Moira's kind of unique. None of the others have the girl next door vibe.
Yeah, that's why, honestly, like, the first episode, I was like, oh, I love Moira, and I love James. I was like, they're so great together, because they're both, like, real-looking, and then, like...
You thought James stuff. Was real-looking?
I thought he was, like, not your typical casting in Love Island. Oh, my God.
I was... I knew that James was going to be trouble because of how attractive he was.
He is attractive, though, right? He's, like, very cute. So, like,
he is trouble.
Here's the thing, though. He's cute, and he's, like, yes, he has, like, pecs or whatever, but, like, he's not, like, a Carrington. He's not a Bennett. He's not, like, a Johnny or a Caleb that it's, like, they're just, like, hot people. Mm-hmm. I feel like James had that sort of, like, more of like the cutesy vibe going on.
But
too.
I think what you were hoping for James came out with Caleb, who I think straddles that like looks and personality dichotomy.
He's so funny. I love him.
He is definitely the best man, period.
He wins.
And I mean of all men, not just in Love Island.
Well, knew I couldn't measure up.
We're already married. Get over it.
I don't know. Apparently, you're going to go for Bennett and join his Satan society after this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not know?
Well, I guess I'll join the five in the basement.
The five in the basement.
You guys have your own hall pass lists, and that's nobody else's business.
Yeah, it's fine. But Scheme Sisters.
But speaking of Bennett.
Back to the conversation.
Yes.
So Bennett and Kirsten talk, and Kirsten's like, I don't even want to move forward as friends.
Yeah, is this like a pseudo quit, basically? Because this is the only guy who had a chance to pick her, and she's like, yeah, you're fine picking somebody else. It's
To be fair, I feel like she should have just left at this point. Like, I'm not sure if the U.S. Love Island works much differently than the U.K. Love Island, but they're able to leave whenever they want in the U.K. Are they not able to do that here? Like, do they have...
There's not a lot else going on outside of the villa, so would take my days there.
It's a different time.
Yeah, what she should have done is just coupled up with one of the new guys at Casa Amor, but she didn't, and she should have done that.
Yeah.
Kirsten, she loves Carrington.
Well, Carrington and her have fundamental differences that are just not going to work out.
Carrington, thanks Kirsten for the experience at the end of it all. So it's all the flame
the experience
is still kindled,
like
apparently.
With like under the sheets, right?
But
I do want to bring up that a lot of these people are having conversations where they're saying where they live and how those places are different, and then not ending the conversation with, okay, that might be a challenge for us, but with, okay, well, we'll see. Like, hey, I find that very alarming.
Yeah, when you visit.
Yeah,
I'll
exactly.
visit once. Okay, good.
So that's strange to me.
I think it's tough because, like, I don't know, maybe this is where also, like, the part of appealing yourself to America comes in. Like, I think fudge it a little bit, right?
And
be
I
totally want to make this work. We'll talk later about, like,
the... But that's not what they say.
No, the pulls I come up with Carrington and Laurel later is, like, bluntly honest.
Yeah, like, they're like,
we're not going to be boyfriend and girlfriend. We don't need to be exclusive, but if it happens to fall into our laps, okie dokie. And I'll visit Alabama once, and you'll visit Utah maybe three times, and that's it.
It's generous.
Wait, he lives in Utah?
He does. I think Salt Lake City, because he says he would never move away from a major city.
Yeah.
And Salt Lake City is famously a massive metropolis.
It's not a massive metropolis, but I do actually hear quite good things about it. Like, it's almost like a Seattle type environment, like
it
trendy.
Makes sense why
it's like Seattle, but Mormon.
Yeah, but Mormon. Yeah, makes so much sense now why Carrington has so many partners. He's
it's actually
Mike.
I don't think Salt Lake is as Mormon as people think it is, but I skated right on by it. Just ignored it.
Learned to live with anyways, it. There's a recoupling and. It is a boy's choice, and Calvin picks Moira because they're in love now.
Oh, I love this. As the king of apparently bad analogies, I love this book analogy.
Just, I love that he's picking first as if they're like the most established couple.
Yeah, exactly. Well, honestly, they are. Later on, they have a conversation where she's just like, I just feel so connected to you and I'm so happy that we're together. Even during our time apart, I felt like and now we're happy. Like,
I'm still thinking of you, even when we were spending time apart, even when we were still in the villa and we were not together, I was thinking of you.
Exactly.
They're picking first, not because they're more established, but because they have less options than everyone else. So like no one else is actually going to conflict with them. So that's where you go put them first.
I don't love that he calls her Miss Moira. That just sounds really hard.
Miss Moira! I could see him
being like a little bit fetishist about that kind of stuff.
He never got out of the butler role that Johnny put him in for the proposal.
Later.
I choose Moira. She is quite a gal. She will take me up and I'll be out.
He said, let's go to Pops and get some milkshakes.
Exactly.
He did say that.
Then Johnny picks Sally. Then we get the most iconic moment of Caleb choosing Queen Justine, and he says, thank you for helping me become a better man. I can't wait to get to the next chapter in a very, very, very long story. You make me feel like the luckiest man in the world. The girl I pick is Queen Justine.
I very much enjoy that he calls her Queen Justine, and I demand that you now call me Queen Angela from now on.
You got it, QA.
Not QA.
Yeah. Oh no.
That's already a thing, Mike. Anyways,
the acronyms are too much.
Q Angela. Oh no.
Well, it's just funny because my mom will be like, "Well, now that you have a baby, you're a queen, not a princess." And I was like, "Okay, thought I was always a queen, but here we are."
Disney princesses show that, like, really at any age you can still be a princess.
I am a queen.
Oh, you're a queen. Sorry, I forgot which way you want to go by.
I'm just royalty. It's fine. And I'm a little desperate.
No.
For water.
For water. There you go.
You intend to be its water.
That's okay.
Marriage, y'all.
I'm a queen. I'm a little desperate. That's the name of your autobiography.
Honestly, being in love sounds exhausting.
It is.
In the best way.
We got Carrington picking Laurel, Bennett picking Lakin.
But he says that he felt his spirit jump the first time he like had a conversation with her, which is such a weird
metaphor. Is she a witch? Maybe that's why he's into her. She's like a
succubus.
Yeah, and that's why he's
in a satanic cult. She's a witch. Yeah. I feel like maybe they do have more things in common.
It's spoopy season, everyone.
Spoopy couple. Hashtag team spoopy.
Team spoopy. I'm into it. Taking it behind that.
I mean, honestly, someone being a witch makes me like them more as a fellow witch.
I'm into it. We went and got our tattoos done, and the tattoo parlor is amazing. She just opened it, but it's like all painted in black, and she has like this like very like Wiccan vibe going on. So there's eucalyptus hanging from the ceiling.
There was a fox head staring at us as we walked in.
It was amazing.
And literally in 10 years, when I feel comfortable going back to America, you're taking me to the tattoo parlor.
It was awesome. It was really
and
awesome.
The girl we had was actually somebody that we weren't supposed to have, because the someone who did my other tattoo owns the parlor, and she is like 9 months pregnant and just like couldn't do it. So we got super lucky and got this like really amazing artist. So
yeah, and when I told her the story of why my tattoo exists, she like approached it with a straight face, which honestly is like the past market for me.
She was also pretty chatty, which was good.
She'd actually look at me and she goes, oh, is this your band?
Yeah, she asked if it was his band.
Oh, can you imagine if Mike was in a band?
Yeah, I guess I could. He sings. He plays piano.
I feel like he would be in an a cappella group.
Oh my god. I am sending you a track after we hang up.
You don't even know.
I am sending you a track ASAP for you to listen to.
Singing Fireflies by the Mule.
Don't spoil it.
Not Fireflies. Oh, we love a 2009 vibe.
That I mean,
to be fair, I think it was 2009.
2010.
Yeah, so like...
Yeah, no, this wasn't like last year.
No, this was like...
Oh, I thought it was from yesterday, and now I'm disappointed.
No, this is my college a cappella group.
No, the only music we do now is like me singing with my parents' band.
Oh.
That's actually quite great.
Talented. I can't relate.
I will find it to you and send it to you because it is.
I can't wait.
It's everything that you've ever needed.
This is incredible.
Yeah, use it as the outro music.
No, please don't.
Yeah, there we go.
The idea of using outro music means that I would have to edit something into this podcast, and I'm not willing to do that.
You know what? Fair.
So then, Scally, what did you think of the Kirsten Carrington goodbye?
It was kind of brief, I guess. I don't know. It was a little awkward, but what were you to expect from Kirsten, who's been pretty hung up on him the entire time, saying that from day one she was here for Carrington? And I do like Kirsten saying and then now I'm rooting for him and Laurel, and that says a lot about my character. Okay.
Yeah, Kirsten was definitely that person who. Yeah, she was definitely that person that walks out of that reality show, right? Is like, I'm the true winner, right? It's like, I left with my head held high. This is who I'm rooting for. I mean, good on her. Then I don't know. They can't all be the Laurens, right? The ones that go out super fiery and dramatic. But I also feel if she feels okay with her experience, considering how long she was there for and that she got clipped right before the end, then I have to be happy for her.
I mean, she was never winning.
I think exactly. And she was just also miserable because she was obsessed with Carrington, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah. I don't get it, but.
Oh, right. It's on iTunes.
What?
Just look up the Muhlenberg Dynamics.
Oh my God.
It's called the Muhlenberg Dynamics. Motion to Vote.
All right. Motion to Vote. Several albums.
Can I share this?
There's also
I can.
A Grandpa Space Shuttle. There's the performance of me doing the rap part of Feel Good, Inc. by the Monk. Not the Monkey.
Actually, you're quite good at that one.
Oh, thank you.
Did you just say by the Monkees?
No, I almost said the Monkees, but there is a monkey character in the band. It's the Gorillas.
Yeah.
I just sent you the whole album, Kirsten.
God bless. Now I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm going to crack just a go to nice Firefly. Cold drink.
And actually, fun little anecdote about Michael and Angela. I remember the night we got together for the first time was a concert of the Muhlenberg Dynamics. And I looked up on stage and I thought, dang, gotta get that one.
And I was very drunk.
We were both very drunk. Drunk,
and I was singing Fireflies, and I was trying to do it as seductively as possible.
See, I didn't notice
how
that.
How do you seductively sing Fireflies?
You don't, and that's why I didn't know.
Grip.
Oh, God. No, I don't remember any of that, but I remember it sounding good, so there's that. I was a little dizzy at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
My heart lit up 10 million fireflies.
Yeah.
You're weird because you hate goodbyes, right?
Yeah. And actually, I loved Owl City back in the day.
I really liked Owl City as a song about going to the dentist.
What?
And I really liked that song.
Well, because he's only one person, and he's such an odd duck. So some of his songs are actually quite good in such a random sort of Ben Folds way.
Yeah, I feel like there's one song that you like that I can't remember.
I like, but that was more romantic. I don't want to say. Mm-hmm.
It's a song called Dental Care.
Oh my dear God.
Sounds great.
And it's all about going to the dentist.
Sorry, are we playing songs on the podcast?
No, I just played the start of it.
No, don't play it.
Just kidding. I mean, I can.
No, it's fine. We'll listen to it later.
A lot of Jing Jigatas.
I'm going to film a TikTok music video with Michael.
Please. Listen, Kirsten, I will sign up for TikTok specifically to watch you do a TikTok.
Mike, stop agreeing to do things on podcasts.
It's the thing is Mike is he will say something on podcast and he will do it. I will say something on a podcast and then I'm not ever going to do it.
You have a cat to cuddle and you have a life to live.
Well,
I just feel like he says things because he doesn't think they'll actually come true. Like if you do, he'll say if you, then I'll. And it's he doesn't think the other person's going to do it, but he doesn't realize, yes, they will. And now he's
tattooed. Well, thankfully, he can always do that when he's on a podcast with me, because 90% of the time I'm not going to follow through with my side.
Anyway,
but just wait for that 10%.
Scheme sisters, am I right?
Scheme sisters. Okay, so at the end of the episode, we found out that we get to vote for a couple to go to the hideaway. I feel like everyone voted for Caleb and Justine, right? Did anyone not?
I have to think so.
I was looking at those screenshots that people were posting. It seemed like that was the case. You never know with like the quote-unquote casual audience, but it seemed like everyone was unified.
Yeah, we watch Love Island in the morning, so we never get to like vote, but I would have if I'd been awake.
The best is Evan, who was on this podcast at the start of the season. They keep being behind on episodes, but the app will send you a push notification when it's time to vote. And so they will log in to vote. And then every single time they're like, what happened with the couples?
I also like who's this?
Who's Julia?
Like, what is this situation? Like, what happened? And I think that is very funny that they
it's actually probably the best way to go about it. I didn't even download the app this season.
No, I downloaded it on your phone for you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I don't get the push notifications though. So thank you for that.
I don't know whether to think on my phone. This is cute or troubling. You shouldn't be putting software on your wife's phone.
Except if they're subscribing to our podcast, you should be doing that on your wife's phone.
That's true. Go on anybody's phone, anybody's tablet, everything. Go to their iTunes podcast. Yeah. Subscribe to us. Give us 5 stars. That's a great way. Actually,
like we've been married for 5 years, so like I think we're good. I pay for his phone. It's my phone.
Wow.
Cha-ching.
So anything that Mike does on his phone is actually happening on your phone.
Correct.
There you go. But I feel like this vote was completely, we're sorry for cutting the Jaleb hideaway. We need to have another one, and we know that they won't give them 2 in a row, so this is the only way we can make that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think, though, I wonder what the reaction is from the others, though. Like, do you think that means to them the writing's on the wall, that this is, like, a big indicator that of who's going to win, considering this probably happened, what, like, less than 5 days?
Yeah. I still think that Sally and Johnny think that they're going to win, and Justine and Caleb probably still think that Sally and Johnny are going to win.
No, I think they thought that until the vote results came in, and then they were like,
Because if you looked for Sally and Johnny's reactions, which I very much did, and we'll talk about the rest of the hideaway later.
Yeah, I did. I saw their reactions too.
Johnny was stone cold, and Sally was just smirking, looking at Johnny like, might be some
weird,
trouble.
Because like, I feel like they should still be happy for Justine and Caleb. You know
what
I mean?
Reverse would be true.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like some people are more in this for love, and some are more in it for money.
Yeah, potentially.
So one of my favorite things of this 2-episode Bachelor happens at the start of Friday's episode when they are cheersing to say goodbye to Kirsten, and they did a whole speech about Kirsten and how she will be missed and how she's everything to the house. And then at the end, Sally just goes, and also Julia.
Oh, I love her being the Aunt Peggy of this group of like, oh, and then Julia was also there.
And then they arm chugged.
Did they? Is this a thing? Like, I can't remember. Have they arm chugged before?
Yeah. So Kirsten and Carrington arm chugged on like their first date. And then she has done arm chugging like a few more times. And it's funny because I feel like when it happened the first time, it seemed like something Carrington was doing to show off. And then it actually was just a Kirsten thing.
Yeah. Might be the one thing I take from Kirsten from this season. We'll forget her name, but might take an arm chug in the future.
Is that like a bartender thing? Is like, that's one of the cool, like, you know, mixology things to do is the arm chug.
I think you're asking the wrong crowd, but if anybody has any feedback on arm chugging, please tweet at us all because we would love to know. Cause I certainly don't. I also loved when Laurel and Carrington are talking and Carrington's like, what did you think the odds were that I like would pick her instead of you? And Laurel's like 50-50, 100%.
Yeah. What do you say? Like those are roulette odds.
Well, yeah, 50-50 is good because it's roulette odds.
But like, how did he think?
I don't think roulette odds are 50-50 unless you're exclusively doing odd, even or
red or black.
Red or black.
But like, I don't know how he thought that like she knew that he was 100% committed to her, considering that the conversation they had a day ago was like, I don't know. How do you not respond to that with some sort of thing besides not being 100%?
I don't even think he was looking for 100% as an answer. I think he was genuinely curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think Harrington was curious. I think he also probably just the last thing that's told to him is like what's in his head. So he heard 100% and was like, huh, what? Like that didn't. So I really do think Harrington is, you know, not really paying full attention here.
Well, she was 100% sure that it was a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, there was maybe that he needed a clarification because those are some confusing numbers being thrown about. It's like 50% of the time it works every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Bennett and Lakin are together, and Bennett's like, I haven't felt a connection with anyone until you walked in, which I feel like we have heard him say to two other girls at least. And then Lakin goes, I was messing up by not talking to you enough, which like, yeah, Bennett was who they both needed to be going after, like an Aunt Julia.
Bennett and Calvin, I thought, would get a lot more attention, and then seemingly both of them just went after Carrington.
Well, Moira made it very clear that she and Calvin were back together.
Exactly. She was very, very upfront about it. It was not a 100% of 50-50 thing.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah. Angela went to go put the baby down.
Oh, you didn't tell them?
No, I didn't. I wanted to see if they noticed.
I was wondering why she was being so quiet.
Our child started screaming and crying, so I had to go get him, give him his little binky, hug him, tell him I love him, put him back in his crib, and then come back here to party. And that's parenting.
Incredible. For a second, I thought that was Asher crying again.
Nope, that was just my dear husband eating the fruit out of my sangria.
I dropped it.
He dropped it.
Oh, no, you know there's alcohol in that fruit, Mike.
Yes, of course he knows.
Oh, no.
We had a really nice Johnny and Sally conversation, and even though I don't like Johnny anymore, it was really sweet hearing Sally talk about her family and how she wants to help them out. And it sounds like she's had a very rough life.
Sounds like her mom has had a really, really shitty go of it. Hasn't been
able to work since she was 16. That is like my
heart. Because she had cancer twice, and clearly she's had children in there. Having birthed a child myself, I know that that's enough.
Yeah, like so, Sally's poor mom.
Yeah, so I do appreciate her sort of really wanting to help them, support them. And I like that she's saying that, like, she also put it out there. She was like, oh, my family's never asked me to do anything, you know, to like support them at all. I just feel like that's something I want to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we don't usually get, unlike a lot of other reality shows, like, and maybe this is just because I came off of covering Tough as Nails, but like, what are you going to use the money for? It feels like, especially in Love Island, that's not really.
Well, I think that used to be the narrative, and now it's sort of like, don't say what you're going to use it for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like this because it was mostly about Sally, but I mean, it was like a good window. I always like hearing about these people's lives outside of the villa. It gave me a tiny bit, not that I don't think she would do it, but I was like, Sally, just take the full 100,000 and you'll be good. But I wish there was
like a couples prize and then like sort of like an America's Favorite Player, like an individual fan favorite prize, because that would go to Sally, no question.
Hmm. I still maybe would just keep giving money to Justine.
It's definitely possible.
But like, I don't know. I'm not in that situation, so I don't have to genuinely think about what I would do. Then we got a super cute little Caleb and Justine mini date. Caleb takes Justine up to see a great view, says he is with the goat. Mm-hmm. They're talking about long-term things. They're so comfortable together. They think they're falling in love, maybe, but they don't say it like that. They talk about the fake tarot cards.
Yeah, I love how they sort of couched in that, because I guess how long ago did that happen in this timeline?
I mean, it's been a couple weeks.
No, I would say like a week and a half, because
the Casa Amor people were still there.
Well, no, so that was when we talked to, who was the guest on that podcast? Haley.
Was it the podcast after like the Chantel
one? Yeah, that was the Haley podcast.
Because that was the astrology party, yes, quote unquote. Correct.
Yeah, I don't remember how long ago that was. Time is a social
construct. As you say, time means, it means nothing these days.
Yeah, some may say that time is the amount, the time it takes for an ice cube to melt halfway. But
what?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can really define something but with using the term you're defining in the answer.
Time oh, I also time. Very much wanted to bring up when they were doing the scavenger hunt and Caleb holds up the thing and says, and this represents time. And it's like, it's a,
oh, yeah, and
it was went, an hourglass.
Like, yeah, it's an hourglass. I was like, no, that is time.
Yeah, he said, this represents the time that it that you spent together and that the time of the time, like he, they use time at least.
And I was like, no, time. It doesn't represent time.
I also
it
love
time. Like the, you can't represent something that's abstract. Like it just doesn't make any sense.
The other thing too that he held up was like, this represents listening. And I think it was like a Buddha planter where it's like, it was Buddha
no,
head.
It was, yeah, it was like a head that had like an ear on it.
Oh, that's like Kirsten wasn't paying attention to it.
Yeah, the ear scared me. I didn't like
it. Oh, right. I was like, wait, why wasn't you paying attention?
I just, it's true. Like, like people in my life know that I don't like ears. Okay.
You should know. That's like, an important aspect of
everybody your keep your ears away from me. Thank you.
Get away from
me. Can I call you Kirsten? Because it sounds too much like an ear.
Kirsten.
Oh, you're allowed to call me Kirsten. You just can't call me Kristen.
Yeah, I think he's saying that the word ear is inside of Kirsten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. But he's saying it in a way of like, oh, you'll get mad if people call you that. But I just want to be very also clear like, for the record that I wouldn't be upset.
Kirsten.
I don't know. I feel like that it would really only come up if someone is spelling it phonetically.
Yeah, that's true.
You've given me a lot to think about.
What a time to be alive.
Anyways, so they all go to bed and the next morning Sally comes in to wake them up with pots and pans.
Sally's like somebody that I love on television but would hate in real life.
So that's interesting because I feel like of all the people on this season, my energy most resonates with Sally.
Oh no.
Yeah, well, and look at how miserable.
No, you would never do that. No, that's I, not I no that your energy not. Is not like it, her energy is
camp
like
counselor.
It's manic. It's just like so at this level of like 10 all the time that it's overwhelming.
I said before that Sally has the energy of like that yeah. girl that you hire for your bar mitzvah who like does the dancing.
She's the MC. Yeah, she's like the MC for like a high school dance or something like that where they're paid to be that energetic all the time.
I just thought it wasn't, I couldn't find a line any more relatable to Angela Bloom than when Johnny tells Sally, I just thought about you screaming inside a smaller building than this. Like, now I understand your plight. Angela.
Yeah, no, that's true. Mike Bloom is loud all the time. That's probably why our child woke up before. And that's the price I pay for love.
I will say good on Sally for not going full Josh Martinez. Like the pots and pans is an admirable effort, but she like
she laughed the
little,
whole way
she
though.
A little mild on it. She's not like screaming.
Well, I think when she got up there in the bedroom with the pots and pans, she like immediately was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, like,
and
oh,
started like half banging them. And I was like, okay.
Well, and Justine put a stop to it. So
I mean, Justine's mood in the morning is relatable.
Yeah, I am very much not a morning person. And so Sally's like aggressively like chipper attitude in the morning would drive me crazy.
I'm a morning person in that I get up right away and I do my stuff, but do not talk to me.
Well,
do
yeah.
not interact with me.
I wake up and I live my life, but I don't like doing it. I remember yeah. one summer, one of my like oh. absolute best friends and I worked together. And so she would come to my house beforehand and then we would go to work together. And she came in one day and I had overslept. And so I was like just getting up and she comes in, good morning. How's it going? And I literally
and
was like,
we're no longer best
friends. Why are you so chipper? Like that's what my reaction was.
I also like my mood is don't ask me how my weekend was. Don't ask me how I'm doing in the morning. Please don't talk to me. I'm working.
If it's well, there are morning, sometimes don't talk to anybody in the morning.
Yeah, well, there'll be sometimes though when I like try to I don't know. I'll say something or I'll like be in a certain mood or I'll like sing something either in the morning or at night and you just hate me for it.
I'm just like stop. Enough.
I also got like very much into like don't talk in the morning. Like my ex, you could tell him anything in the morning and he wouldn't remember it 8 hours later because he just like didn't wake up. He was even more of a don't talk to me.
I think it might be unfortunately like no offense, Brian, but like a male thing. Mike doesn't remember shit. So
like no, but it would be like he would remember anything else that you would tell him at any other time.
Oh,
but
I
if you would say something like in the car on the way to work in the morning, like it's after like work, I'd be like, okay, let's go do
really,
this. And he'd be like, what are you
really
talking
focusing
about?
On waking up.
He was
no, yeah,
like, that's still
fair.
Asleep.
Yeah. He can't focus on anything else. He's just got to wake up.
Listen,
I'll have full conversations and I'll have been asleep. Don't have any
hey,
memory.
Me too. I also text in my sleep, which has become a it's become a really bad problem during quarantine. Because I'll like reply to a text to someone at 4 a.m. I don't remember doing it. It's like a totally reasonable, normal response. But then like later on that day, I'll be like, oh, I haven't been talking to that person in a while. And then I open up my messages and I'm like, wait, why? When was I awake? When
did that's your subconscious?
Like 3 a.m.
I had a friend in college that was taking Ambien and would wake up during the middle of the night and order things online. So she would get all these packages to her college dorm like mailbox and like really random shit. So gotta be careful with that.
I guess it's more about like being destructive to your wallet or to your social life. So would you rather?
Scheme sisters.
I think it honestly just means I should probably get Ambien.
Maybe.
Phone across the room.
Well, to be clear, the story was not an advertisement for Ambien in the least.
It sounds like she made some really reasonable purchases that Kirsten could really benefit from.
Hey, who knows?
That's what it's up.
It's like
to me.
I don't know what I would do on Ambien, and actually no, it's really scary. Like I'm already a sleepwalker. I'm already a sleep talker.
Are you really?
Oh, no. I'm already texting people. My mom used to be so scared that I was gonna like run out of the house in the middle of the night and they wouldn't be able to find me. I don't know. It was bad.
Yeah, I would say don't aggravate that already by adding something.
I haven't done it in a long time though, but I remember one of my mom's like favorite stories is we had just moved to a new house and I guess I was sleepwalking and she woke up to me just like standing like looking down at her while she was asleep in the bed and she was like she thought she was going to be murdered, but I just went back to bed and then didn't remember it.
Sounds like my sister. She used to do that when we were younger. We had bunk beds and I would consistently wake up and she would just be staring at me.
That's scary. I think that's deep terrifying activity.
Hey,
and I'm saying that as a demon.
I'm surprised Bennett hasn't been doing that then to Lakin.
Maybe he hasn't. It hasn't made the air.
Yeah, exactly. We cut all of we removed Noah and we cut all of Bennett's satanic activity from the show.
But satanic activity, not worth removing someone from the show. So,
yeah.
So Calvin and Moira are having breakfast together and they're like, wow, we've had breakfast together for like 3 days, as if that's an accomplishment. I thought that was very funny. Well,
it was interesting. Actually, it's going back to like the Scally thing of I don't remember, you know, having this conversation. When we get the two of them in the pool later, it was a very similar tone of like, when did we have breakfast together? And I wonder if they were just trying to figure out like what day it was.
What I think she was asking though was, did you make breakfast today and yesterday? But it did come across as like, what day is it? Because that's just the way she talks.
I will also say, first off, Calvin, primo choice of headband there, karate kid
rough
style.
Luck.
I also question the pairing of the egg with sliced banana.
Wait, is that what they were eating?
So at least he gave Moira. So he gave like he sort of put like the fried egg on top of the lightly crusted piece of bread.
No, what did he crusted? Is that what he said?
Lightly crusted piece of bread.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's not right in the head.
But he sliced up a banana. But he sliced up a banana and put it next to it. Well, just, that feels like that doesn't match.
Well, Mike can tell you how much
fruit with your breakfast is like a pretty normal thing to do.
Banana
and eggs.
I mean, I wouldn't eat a banana at all because I think they taste chalky and gross.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I think people who like bananas would eat banana.
No. Yeah, but not with eggs.
Yeah, not in the same.
No, and Mike has this, he'll know this about me. I am anti-warm banana, so I'll just have like a fresh banana, that's fine by me. But if you put, like Mike tends to do this thing where he'll toast bread and then he'll put peanut butter on the bread and then he'll put banana on the bread, and that is...
That's an Elvis, baby!
It's disgusting. So I don't like, and I don't like eggs, so this is a big no for me. So Calvin... Remember that.
Yeah, Calvin.
Yeah, for when you're making Angela breakfast, make sure not to.
Maybe he'll be our nanny one day. You don't know.
Just as likely that he'll be making.
No, absolutely not.
Calvin could be our manservant.
Our manservant, but not our nanny.
Call me Miss Mike. I'll be happy.
I was going to say, it's just as likely that he'll be making breakfast for any one of us that he will for Moira after the season. So you never know.
So true.
No, I mean, they're going to be well into their family. They're going to have a boy, a girl, and a surprise in their family.
I was not a planned pregnancy, okay?
Planned. What did they say? Your plan.
My mother was like, a mistake. And she said, no, you were an unplanned miracle, which is just the nice way to say mistake.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, mistake is also what the casting department refers to Moira as.
I don't think she's so. She's brought drama.
She's not too bad. It was certain points.
She's just a boring human, but like,
for a while
that's
she
fine.
Was hashtag Moiring, but I think she brought Moiring. Some like entertainment near the end here.
Moiring.
It's a dumb word.
You're just laying that like swirl around your mouth, not necessarily knowing if it's a good taste or a bad taste.
Moiring.
It's like the sound that like an old timey phone makes.
Moiring.
No, it's like
Moiring. Moiring.
Yep, soup.
Yeah, exactly.
What's going on with Truman?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God. So yeah, basically Calvin and Moira are like, we're together, and
yeah, they're
nobody...
in love. They think they're Johnny and Sally level of love, but they're not.
Convincing each other and ourselves and themselves.
Yeah, that's true. They think they're Caleb and Justine level, but no. Pool party.
No, we gotta get to
sorry.
Talk about Johnny and Sally about going out for coffee.
I'm just gonna say Johnny and Sally level of going out for coffee after leaving the villa.
Right.
I feel like, don't they know that if you just stop going out for coffee, you'll be a millionaire in like 3 months? Like they should just.
Yeah, no, I tell my that's
how are they
going
to expect to get a house if they keep going out to coffee and going roller skating?
Coffee is all that I have right now, so I'm going to get coffee.
But we also see like a backdoor possible late entry in the presidential campaign for Sally on a beef jerky platform.
Okay. Beef jerky is simply too expensive.
It's like, also disgusting.
Is beef jerky, beef jerky actually expensive?
It is expensive, but don't you not eat meat?
I don't.
What? Yeah, I know. So why would you eat beef jerky?
You're just curious about the price.
I just was like, oh, is it expensive? I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were saying like.
But I mean, isn't it like a super. I feel like.
It is expensive.
I feel like if I were someone who ate meat, I would be like a trash bag who would be like, yeah, I eat beef jerky and bologna.
Or like a beef jerky, bologna, pork rinds.
I don't think I could ever go that far.
That's my dad right there.
That's like my sister and I were watching Ratched, and the point of character says, bologna is my favorite food.
Bologna.
It's bologna.
Bologna is my favorite.
Ooh.
My dad will also partake in cheese balls. So really goes all out when he, you know, a few martinis.
Aren't cheese balls just basically Cheetos, but in a ball form?
Right. Mm-hmm. And cheaper.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Not name brand. That's for sure. They come in a big tub here in America.
Oh, I have seen those before. One of my friends in university drove to Montana to go to Costco. I don't know why. Don't even try to make sense of it. And he came back with this giant thing of cheese balls. And we walked in the room, and I don't remember who said, but one of my friends was like, well, that is just an obscene barrel of cheese. That's all I can think of when someone brings cheese balls now.
Obscene barrel.
Guys, I just want to describe to you right now that Mike is currently on Google looking up beef jerky.
Well, I'm looking at
why is beef jerky so expensive?
Yeah, from MountainAmericaJerky.com. Yeah. Look up why is beef jerky so expensive?
And he's not president.
Yeah,
don't worry. They have holiday guests.
All it says seems to mostly come down to water weight. It says beef is approximately 60% water. So once the meat is dehydrated and smoked, the weight of the remaining meat is drastically less than what you started with.
So you're eating like a whole cow in a pack of beef jerky.
Exactly.
Good to know. Gross. Was going to say, first of all, Sally wouldn't be the worst option available. And then also I like that during a pandemic, Sally says if she could change one thing about the world, it would be the price of beef jerky.
Yeah, I think she sort of failed that pageant question.
And I do also think they've forgotten where they are and like what's happening outside. Because they keep talking about they're all going to get together. They're going to travel. It's like,
knowing this cast, they actually might get together amidst
these people are going to be in Palm Springs in a week.
I was going to say, Florida's fully open as of this weekend, which is alarming and upsetting in many ways, but that's where they'll be. Hit up Miami.
Yikes. Not good. But Johnny does say that he would vote for Sally, I think.
No, he says he
would not.
Oh, he said he wouldn't? I thought he said he would.
Because then he wouldn't get to spend time with her.
Oh,
no, he says he would not because then he wouldn't get to spend time with her.
Sorry. we're throwing up.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Disgusting. So
then you would totally like be with other paramours and be like, I'm sorry, president.
Like, it's like, I'm so sorry you have so much to do. So I just wanna...
I had to, I was too yeah. my, my
he'd be eight. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm the worst. I'm a trash can human. This is all on me. Absolutely. When you're ready to talk, you just let me know. I want to make it right. But also I bye. This.
Yeah.
So he, I would take like Air Force One and like, I don't know, pick up like Caleb and Calvin and everybody and like have a party in the White House or something.
Oh, he sucks.
I forgot what Air Force One was for a second.
Okay, Canadian, you don't need to know.
But it's okay. I was reminded.
It's a plane.
Just a plane. So Lakin calls
have a pool party.
No, before the pool party, Lakin calls Carrington out. She's like, "You should be an actor because you led me on."
Well, she interrupts him, and he's like, "He's trying to explain," and she goes, "Stop! You should be an actor because you're great at acting." Like, it's not very well phrased, but you could tell she was really working on that dick.
And then she's like, "I don't." What does she say? Something like, "I don't." Blame you or something about being annoyed. What did she say about being annoying?
Oh no, he said that you know, he's just like,
I didn't mean to leave you on. Yeah, she was like, you didn't leave me on, you're just annoying.
Yeah, she keeps going back and forth. You're just annoying. And it's like, being annoying is not the worst thing that you could be. No. I relate deeply to just being annoying. Like, that made me kind of like Carrington more.
I think she's saying that his behavior is annoying. His, like, leading her, you know, that
but
sort
she,
of thing.
But she also, it's very clear that she feels embarrassed, right? Like, she thought that she was a sure thing with Carrington. He didn't pick her. And now she's very much trying to save face by being like, you know, there's that comment about like, oh, you know, you're just being annoying. You weren't leading me on. And then she also goes forward to be like, I'm glad you didn't pick me because Bennett's a much better person than you are.
And I should have gone with my first instincts.
Like, we all know, Lakin, that your first instinct was Carrington. Like, this was on TV. We saw it happen. Like, what is even wrong with you?
Yeah, everyone trying to save face by saying like, oh, I didn't think Carrington was going to be like that. I thought he was going to be so annoying when I came in, but then he really opened my eyes. It's like, no, you did not. You like him because he's cute.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is a tall man who is very symmetrical. He has good abs. He's got the pecs. Like, we all
know.
He has
a job.
And he is very thirsty, so he will give you like physical affection, which is definitely appealing for a lot of people. Like, I don't know.
But if it's the scorpion and the frog, it's frogs coming and being like, well, I know the scorpion stung them in the past, but don't worry, I'm pretty sure his pincers removed, and then they get stung, and then he moves on to the next frog.
I feel like that is the analogy of me looking for a man, as I'll be like, oh, this man seems very toxic, but it's fine. It's not.
It'll be fine one day.
And then you hear that creepy cover and you're like, oh my God, it is toxic.
And then all of a sudden it's like, you're toxic.
That was amazing.
That was honestly a
duet.
When does our album drop on iTunes?
Don't worry, great question. I produce acapella gold albums in the past.
You do know how to write the music. So another tidbit there.
As if I would know how to read it.
fair, very fair.
So then we finally, Angela, what do we get next?
Pool party. I mean, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But it only happened.
No, it's the spectrum challenge.
Oh, sorry.
It was in the pool, so.
That was actually rough, this challenge, though. I was cringing the whole time.
That's one of my favorite challenges in Survivor, right? The touchy subjects, like, who, except with them, they're voting on each other. And this is sort of a basic challenge of who does America think is.
And I also did not like that the men had to say it about the women and the women had to say it about the men. I didn't think that was great. Not a great look. Like, I did not want them. Like, if it had been the whole villa saying it about somebody and then the whole villa, like, then America voting, it would have been better, in my opinion, from an optics perspective.
It was fine with the villa stuff because, like, even something like voting Justine as most two-faced, like, Caleb very easily was able to avoid an awkward situation by being like, oh, Justine has so many faces that she slays because they clearly don't want to say any of them are two-faced. So, like,
yeah, I guess.
I feel like the the villa people themselves were fine. And I think it was very easy for the women to just dump on Carrington. And he very much was like, yep, I deserve this.
Yeah. So just to contextualize this, the game is called Fire and Ice. And they're in the pool. The fire means
a song of.
A song up, and ice means least, I guess. And so they are organizing based on these categories that were in relation to polls on the Love Island app that I personally didn't vote in. Scally, did you vote in these polls?
I did not get to vote in this set.
I didn't even know I had the app. So here we are.
Yeah, you would have played it.
I know that. Ali Lasher was talking about her votes on this with us. I feel like Mel was talking about voting. So I know people were voting, but just not the people on this podcast.
Sorry.
Oops.
So first it's the women guessing, and they have to guess who's the least fake to the most fake. And they think Carrington is the most fake, right? And Caleb is the least.
Yeah, Carrington, Bennett, Calvin, Johnny, and Caleb from most to least fake, which I would say I think Calvin is less fake than Johnny personally.
I don't know. Calvin's pretty fake.
I don't know. I'm going off of that stuff you were talking about with Trey, who says that Johnny's a poser.
I also don't think Calvin's fake. I think just his personality is that sort of weird.
You think it's put on, but no, this is how the man actually behaves.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that Calvin, remember when Calvin had no interest in Moira until America said they were compatible?
You also just don't like him because
he's fake. Archie. Oh my god. And I also don't hate him. I just do think he's fake.
No, I know.
And so the answer, America did think that Caleb was the least and Carrington was the most. I was actually really surprised that they thought Carrington was the most fake.
Yeah.
I thought Johnny was gonna get that.
Well, I did think it was interesting that the men didn't get the two-faced comment, at least on screen, but the women did. So I guess this was sort of the most equivalent.
I'm upset about that.
That feels nasty.
Yeah, the show doesn't always do the best.
Oh, no, you think?
In case anybody's new. We also got, they were voting from best boyfriend to worst boyfriend, and the Islanders thought the order would be from best to worst, Johnny, Calvin, Caleb, Bennett, Carrington, and of course the audience voted Caleb for the best, and Carrington stayed for the worst. I don't know.
Yeah, why did they put Caleb at the
that was awesome. Why do they think Calvin is such a good boyfriend?
Yeah, I can understand Johnny first because of the proposal, but the Calvin over Caleb.
That they think Calvin's a good boyfriend because he's the more of the normal human in the group.
He did make breakfast.
Exactly. He seems very much so the guy that's always caring about the girls.
I don't know. I think that was very rude to Caleb. That with the islands.
Agree with that 100%. But
yeah, I can see where just because. Just because Johnny's currently the only boyfriend doesn't mean he would be the best one.
In fact, he's probably the worst.
Oh, yeah, he's not a good one.
I would put Bennett above Johnny at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ugh, gross. So we got best to worst friend. And the Islanders thought it went Caleb, Johnny, Bennett, Calvin, Carrington. For best to worst.
I don't know. Because I feel I would probably put Calvin further because I feel wasn't Calvin the one that was weeping over Connor going a little while back? I don't know if this is supposed to be a platonic friend or a friend to a girl, but I feel
why would you not be a platonic friend to a girl? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I guess I misdefined that. I guess I would
he's
say
drunk, guys. He had too much fruit.
Platonic friend or a bro, I'm not sure what they're defining as friend here.
I'm still confused. But anyways, the actual answer was from best to worst, Caleb, Calvin, Johnny, Carrington, Bennett. And I do understand Bennett being at the end because they don't know him.
They don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has that sort of, devil-y look about him, so it makes sense.
So rude.
Probably most best friend with
guys,
the dark
he's
arts.
So jealous.
There's nothing wrong with having a devil-y look about you, okay?
Yes, as Lakin can testify.
Exactly. And, somebody else. We don't know.
Oh my god, Angela's not. Okay, so then they switch and it is the men guessing on the women. And they first they guess best to worst girlfriend. And the Islanders guess that it's going to go Justine, Sally, Moira, Laurel, Lakin.
No, they put Laurel last initially.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and she's like, what?
That to me, I feel like Laurel should be up there. I feel like she's a good girlfriend. But
is it purely because of that like one hot second of a storyline of like, well, Twitter said that I might be good with Calvin. So does that mean that she's the worst girlfriend, apparently?
Maybe it's the boys.
Maybe they thought that Carrington was getting so many negative ones that they just really hated the whole couple thing.
Maybe. And so then the actual answer did have Justine in first and Lakin in last. I did not catch the full order in the middle. Did anybody?
It's fine. No.
Okay. No, yeah, I don't zoomed think in really and out matters. Weird.
Yeah. I think Lakin and Laurel just switch place. It would make sense that Sally would be in second place because like she has the two of them, Justine and Sally, have been like the most committed relationships this entire time.
100%. So then it went most to least loyal, and the Islanders thought it would be Sally, Justine, Laurel, Moira, Lakin, and what the answer was Sally, Laurel, Justine, Moira, Lakin, and I'm very confused why Justine wouldn't be up there, but
I think that they just switched with Laurel though, right?
Yeah, but maybe it was that Laurel was like in this storyline where like she was being strung along a bit by Carrington, where it's like, oh, she's showing how loyal she is even though it's not reciprocated.
Justine literally did the Casa Amor twist and didn't do anything.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but you have two women who have been, their storylines for the last little bit have been like the guys they're with suck and they're still with them despite that.
Anyways, anyone in the audience who didn't vote Justine for all of the good ones, dead to me.
I would also say personally, if we're going most loyal to least loyal, I might squidge Moira there below Lakin into least loyal.
Moira is here to scheme and
play. I just feel like Lakin was the easy answer because she's just new.
And it's not like she was completely devoted, right? She was the one we just saw this episode who was like, oh, Bennett, yeah, great, I'll be with you. Like clearly she had some wandering interest, but Moira has had much longer of a track record of doing that.
That's fair.
Yeah, 100%. Then they did the two-faced challenge. So most two-faced to least two-faced, which I think is just fakest. And they could have just called it that. But whatever. Sexism. And so the Islanders put from least to most.
Most to least. Because again, Caleb had that cop out of like, oh, Justine.
Faces. I just, in my mind, I was like, that can't be right because of where Justine was. Because like, to me, but
they were making it. Like,
but yeah, like, you're right.
I think they threw that.
Yeah. So they joke. they jokingly put Justine as the most two-faced, then Sally, Laurel, Lakin, Moira. Because I think that they're just trying to not hurt people's feelings. And then the answer that we get from the audience is that Moira actually is the most two-faced and Justine is the least. And Moira immediately burst into tears, which I would too. I would be upset at this.
I genuinely like felt for Moira here because I do feel like she's unaware. I mean, I know you think she's a mastermind, but I think ultimately she's probably not. And she's probably just thinks she's being like
sister.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she's a scream.
Did you almost call her a scream sister?
I did. She's a scream queen.
She's a scream queen.
It is spoopy season.
It is spoopy season. But I do think that she's somebody who just like is unaware. It's like sometimes she's just clear as day. She just has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, because I think the thing is that like to her detriment, I do think she's been sincere with like so much of her personality that it does have to hurt to have like an entire country be like, yeah, you're two-faced. That's who you are as a person.
Well, because she's flippy. She just flips back and forth. And that's like, that might be sincere. It just might also be her personality that she's two-faced, you know, and it's like she goes from one thing to the next thing really quickly and she's very flighty and flaky and, you know, who knows if that's.
Was Moira a Gemini?
I have no idea. You're talking to a Taurus here.
I just know with Moira, like they did show conversations blatantly where it was like, Mackenzie's my best friend in the villa. And then she's talking to Mackenzie and she's like, you're totally in the right. And then she goes to Jalen and she's like, I don't understand what Mackenzie's thinking. So
she's
like
a Pisces.
Yeah. We literally looked this up two podcasts ago and I
it's
forgot.
Fine. She's also from New Jersey. Who knew?
Maybe you guys can hang out.
No.
I feel like she'd say yes and then she'd ditch us.
She's ditch us. She's so flaky. She's like within our age range, yeah, though. So.
We'll ask Mara to hang out with us and we'll see how two-faced she is. We'll be the final test.
I will say, though, that I'm surprised she's a Pisces, not a Gemini, but that's fine.
I mean, we don't know her full chart, so we can't really judge.
I did enjoy her purple scuba suit that she wore to this.
Same. I love that. There's been a lot of scuba looking swimsuits on this season, and I will say I'm enjoying it.
So as long as somebody's wearing those damn black and white stripes, I'm happy.
Oh my God. Mike Bloom is obsessed with the fact that the boys tend to wear these black and white striped button down shirts that look like referee outfits. And he feels like that's like a big crime.
Stupid. It's so stupid.
Huge crime.
I'm sorry, Mike, if you were picking out your own clothes, what would you wear?
Not that, apparently.
Because when you wear black and white vertical stripes, the two things people think of are referees and Beetlejuice. Why would you wear something?
Well, it's spoopy season. What's wrong with Beetlejuice?
It was not spoopy season in August when this thing premiered.
I mean, it's been spoopy season all year in 2020.
It's a fashion statement that you just don't understand.
A fashion statement that has a big old question mark at the end because it's questionable AF.
Every time we see anybody in a referee costume, I'm like, uh-oh.
What I think is questionable is Mike being the one with fashion opinions.
Yeah, so true.
I have very specific, takes that I am very.
If you have bangs,
about, and then outside of that, I'm completely fine with.
Yeah, he's very against bangs. Very against vertical black and white stripes. What else is there?
Listen, I'm just building like a menu, you know, of commandments.
Great. Mm-hmm. Sure.
But anyway, I'm glad that was not being worn this episode, because when Carrington and I think other people wore them, it just
Bennett.
Well, considering that when people wore referee outfits during the challenges, you couldn't tell the difference. That's
you
a problem.
Could very much so tell the difference.
That's a problem.
Okay. No, you could tell.
It's a problem.
You could tell.
I think he's speaking for himself that he couldn't
I think
tell.
He is.
Yeah. I couldn't tell.
Okay. Moving on.
Anyways, so
this would be a prime moment for you to do your impression of the
I'm gonna wake our child up if I do that.
Yeah, it's true.
When we're watching the show, I do like a very shrill British voice yelling I've got a text whenever they get a text after watching the UK version, and it's way
it's
too
obnoxious.
Loud. It's NSFB and not safe for bedroom.
What? Get out of here. That's not a thing. Stop acronyming.
For baby?
Yeah, well, that's going. Yeah, not safe for baby. Now who's the queen of the acronyms?
I love acronyms. I don't have a problem with them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Andrew. No, it's fine. I don't mind them. It's just it happens a lot.
Okay. so they do like basically after between the challenge and the party is just like, you know, making Moira feel better, which whatever. So they have their party. And at the party, Johnny and Sully are talking about how they're each other's best friends.
I also think it was a little strange that they had a pool party when all they do is hang out around the pool. But
this time they gave them like
it was like cosmic bowling
and threw a bunch of crap in the pool and then said, go off to your corners and talk.
They're not being wasteful
right in the pool.
They're using what they have.
All right.
I don't know. I wish I could go to a pool party.
Same. Hard same. Not now. It's cold.
Well, yeah, it is. It's cold here, too. But like, I'm just really sad that I didn't get to go get like drunk on a roof at any point this whole summer. It just makes me sad.
Island. That's what they do.
I know. The whole thing is on a roof. Ugh. I should
next season.
Love
you
Island.
Can apply.
We all know I'm not going on Love Island.
We'll say
go on,
go
Love,
on
Island.
Love Island.
I just Dear love Prince how it's presented as a thing of like, oh, yeah, I could go on Love. I could get onto Love Island if I just
I
wanted
think you
to.
Could. Mm. I do not see why you could not.
I actually don't think that I could get on Love Island, but thank you.
You absolutely can. You
can't wait to see you walk out of Casa Amor next year.
Oh my God.
That would actually be the perfect spot. Because I don't think you would be happy if you were there from the first day. I feel like you'd be over it. But if you came into Casa Amor, it'd be the perfect timing for you.
And you do love Sequester, so you'd get lots of time to hang out.
You're right. Angela being sequestered is the best thing ever.
It sounds amazing.
It's incredible. They bring you your meals. You don't have to.
Oh,
it's the best.
Vacay. Mom vacay.
Like literally, I would go in a second for another
just be sequestered. You don't even have to go on like you don't even have to go on TV. Just exactly. Be sequestered.
It's not about getting on TV. It's about that sweet, sweet alone time.
As somebody who lives alone.
Yeah, I live alone with my cat. Actually, my having my cats is better than being in sequester without
that's
my cats.
So true.
I did miss them. Yes. Okay. So Moira and Calvin also are like, this is where they're having that conversation about how they always were thinking about each other this whole time.
Yeah.
Nice Spider-Man kiss.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. I actually thought, okay, the Spider-Man kiss is kind of cute.
I think the cute part was when he soaked his head doing it and they like laughed over that. I thought this was a cute scene between them. Granted, maybe it's because they were so inebriated that like the awkwardness kind of shed away. But I did like this conversation between them.
He's like, Spider-Man.
Did he say it?
He said he Spider-Man kiss.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was very cute.
How did I miss that?
It took them a while.
Awkwardly rotating in their tubes, trying to find a like angle that it worked.
And you were also concentrating on like the obscene amount of pineapples floating in the jacuzzi.
I was upset about that.
I did also notice.
Oh God. Okay. Then we also got. This is where the Carrington and Laurel conversation is, where it's like, maybe we'll visit, maybe we'll be together, but not officially. Like, who knows?
Carrington isn't even going to. Carrington is going to like call her an Uber at the airport. Like, I don't think he's going to even pick her up at the airport when she arrives in Utah.
I just don't go to Utah. I don't know. Actually, I can't really say anything.
I hear it's really nice.
So it's really nice.
I've heard it's beautiful. And then we get Jaylib. They're toasting to wonderful memories, and then we find out that America has been voting.
And none for Bennett and Lakin.
Yeah, they weren't even.
I do think it was weird that they had this be one of those like text chain things.
Yeah, well, I will say I'm pretty sure the Bennett and Lakin conversation was like, nice to meet you. What's your name again?
I was like, ugh, get away from me. And so, yeah, there is the vote from America. Jaylib was voted in. A lot of people queued up that it did seem like Johnny and Silly were a little like,
yeah. Yeah, and I think Brian clocked that pretty early on, but I agree with that for sure, which is odd.
I mean, I don't know if it's like, we're mad. I think Johnny maybe like, I am doing this proposal and doing all of this, and I could have had Mercedes, and I'm still not going to win.
No, I think it totally makes sense. I think they could absolutely think, especially from Johnny's perspective, that like they are the it couple right now, right? Because they have been such the focus of everything, whereas Caleb and Justine have been so supportive that they've just been like totally under the radar and stable as opposed to loud and volatile.
Plus I do think that Sally was more making that face about the face that Johnny was making, not necessarily like the situation. She was kind of just like looking at Johnny reacting.
So happy for Jaylib.
Yeah, Sally is a good friend to Justine. So Justine's like, I don't know what to wear, and Caleb's like, nothing, let's go.
Yeah, it was kind of weird we didn't see like them all getting together, like, because the girls always help the girls like get ready for the hideaway.
Yeah, they sort of yada yada. Yeah,
well, and it almost seemed like the other girls didn't help her get ready.
Didn't. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It seemed like just Sally was with her.
Maybe it's so because rude. It was like that because it was the after hours pool party. Like maybe it was super late, and they're just like, we're going to bed at this point. Like Sally can help Justine, and then Caleb can help her get into bed. But yeah,
Caleb can help her get into bed.
And then Justine is like happy but feels bad because everyone wanted it. And Sally was nice, being like, you deserve it. Go do what you want. Don't feel pressured, but also like don't hold back on what you want to do.
She screamed that they're going to go make some babies.
Yes. Ooh, I'd be here for a Jaylib baby.
Beautiful child.
I would stand. I would.
I do stand.
I want that child to go on to like Love Island 40 or something.
Oh my God.
Like Love Island royalty.
Can't wait to be podcasting about Jaylib baby on Love Island 40.
Baby Jaylib.
Cannot wait. There's like Caleb, like, my favorite thing to do is talk to you. But let's get the talking out of the way and get in bed.
Ooh, that was cute.
They're cute. I love them.
Yeah. It was like, not anyone could say real. That, and I would think it was cute, but it was done well.
It just came across as, like, something that, like, you could imagine, like, a real human, like, actually saying in real life, you know? Like, not a robot.
I was going to say, I love how you always define real human, like, they're, otherwise everyone else is either, like, a fictional character or, like,
no, I mean that they're, like, yeah, they're, like, automatons. They're, like, not real. Down to earth. You know what I mean? Get out of here.
Oh, God. And so, yeah, that's where the episode ends. And we find out that the next episode is going to have Zoom calls with the family, because obviously the family cannot come to the villa.
Now, do we think that the lack of, like, a dramatic message means that, like, everyone's family approves of their partner? There's not going to be any sort of, like, if you come back coupled up with this person, like, forget seeing us.
What, you mean in the preview? I don't think that means that.
But I feel like if there was a really dramatic message, they would have shown that, you know?
Maybe. I think that they were just like, okay, we're going to show Justine being like, oh, I hope my family's proud of me, and hope that that's enough of, like, a dramatic thing.
Yeah,
so they don't have to give away what's actually in the Zoom calls.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're probably not very, like, happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I would be intrigued to see how Carrington's family responds to everything.
I just am waiting for the family where it's, like, the one family can't get their Zoom to work, or they're, like, really close to the camera, like, all of that stuff. Just
that,
like,
sounds early, accurate.
Like, early pandemic stuff is what we're going to get here.
Yeah, I mean, it must be intimidating, not just, like, to, first of all, meet the in-laws and have them be, like, 100 times bigger blown up on this screen.
Yeah.
Might not be great,
but you love them being on, like, the Jumbotron. But it also seemed like this screen was, I don't know, I don't map up the villa in my head. It seemed like the screen was so far away from where they were on the couches.
Well, I think it was like the screen came on, they were far away, and then they probably ran over.
I hope so. Hopefully they didn't have to watch their family's messages from, like, 20 feet away.
I mean, they would still see them. It was a pretty big screen.
So I did see someone posting on Reddit that Johnny's sister is being maybe a little defensive of the whole situation. Ooh. And saying that. Yeah. So I don't know how her and Sally will go right away, but maybe she won't even be there. So we'll see what happens.
That's true. She might just be not into it.
Wait, so you mean that she was defensive of Johnny?
Yes, a little bit of, like, oh, Sally, like, says she's open to getting to know Benny, but then she comes back to Johnny and isn't saying, is like, okay, like, sure, we'll pretend that's big issue they're having.
Like, as if Sally and Bennett were in bed doing stuff, but they weren't.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that is the clear equivalent to Johnny making out with the same woman multiple times during their few nights staying in Casa Amor.
Yeah, like, yikes. Do we want to hit a few questions?
Hit them.
Of course.
Hell yeah. Woot. Felipe wants to know if Baby Bloom has a favorite, and why is it Justine?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's, of course, well, that's, as much as we love Justine, we stan our queen. Mm-hmm. Asher is very into blonde women, so yeah, probably Laurel.
I was going to say, I was thinking Laurel. Like, I think Lakin is not exactly that blonde look that he's
wearing. No, he likes a wholesome blonde.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to meet Asher.
He's going to love you.
And then Veronica asks, what do we think of Connor and Mackenzie on social with a little heart emoji? Ooh, have you guys seen happening? Them?
No, I have so not.
They are together. He got to Arizona. He brought a stuffed bear to be friends with Gus. And they've just been hanging out, being very cute on Instagram.
All right, well, good for them.
Good for them. I'll be honest, I didn't see it because Connor is like a bag of flour with a beard. But if it makes Mackenzie happy, then okay.
Also, like, I guess this is interesting to think about, but typically one of the questions is, can you move? Can you come to me? How is your job going to work with that? But, like, now everyone's jobs are remote. So, like, I guess he can just move to Arizona.
Well, he was also like a CPA or something, right?
Yeah, he's an accountant. Yeah. He can just go.
Job.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, previously, he would not have been able to move to Arizona to be with Mackenzie. And who's to say he moved?
Well, I don't know if he's, like, there permanently.
Well, right. But, like, he would have been able to just ticket. Go.
That is, yeah. They, like, there's no plan to the end of this visit.
And he would not have been able to do that pre-pandemic without, like, losing his job. Whereas, I mean, I feel like this allows, like, him to just, like, go anywhere he wants.
He also went to go be on Love Island. So we don't really know his job situation.
Maybe he took a vacay.
Is it just that he had he had time off still. Like, well, technically, I did get out 6 weeks, so let me just spend the last few days visiting Mackenzie.
Well, no, but because he didn't buy like a round trip ticket, so that's we'll true. See how long he's there.
I'm just saying that I think that it leads to more likelihood that people will go to each other and be with each other because, you know, there's not much else to do.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. Hey, if I'm not going to get, I want Sally and Justine on the Amazing Race, but if not
God,
them,
I wish.
I will take Connor and Mackenzie.
Well, and I think Connor and Mackenzie, like, I'm now kind of, even though Connor's not my favorite, I do kind of get why they would make sense. Like, I feel like in a relationship, you need to have one person who's more like out in front and one person who can kind of like step back a little bit. And so I do think that that makes a little bit more sense in hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy for it. The more I could see that. I guess maybe it was just like the environment of Love Island that just did not.
Yeah, it's not great.
But it's also the recency bias, right? Like the last thing we saw of them was like Mackenzie just freaking out over everything with Jalen and Connor, that it didn't leave like the best impression of either one of them. But if that, they sort of let bygones be bygones and move forward exclusively, then you know what? It'll work. If they end up being like the lone couple to survive this, that would be truly bananas.
I completely agree. Okay. And then Michael O'Rear basically asks if the vote a couple into the hideaway, does it at this point in the season, does it not just tell it like point out who's going to win?
It's a good question. I mean, I wonder if, I mean, it could have partially been because we hadn't seen Justine and Caleb in the hideaway before. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Sally and Johnny get a hideaway night?
They
did. Yeah, early on, I think, right?
They got the first one. And then apparently, again, as we've said, Justine and Caleb did get a hideaway, but it was cut. So this is actually their second one.
I don't think it necessarily predetermines it, because we have talked, or you guys have talked about in the past, sort of how the voting on the app works and the timelines and all that. Because I do think the polls are up a little bit longer. They're at different times. You get like that push notification, whereas like the voting for like the winner, I'm not sure, you know, I feel like people that are voting for each of these are not necessarily the same. So I don't know. I feel like it's not an definite, but it's a strong point in favor of.
It also depends on the editing, right? Like, if there's a strong, if they show more Johnny Selly stuff, like what we saw from Selly in the last episode, like, who knows? Right now, I think it's, if we're just, like, Team Spoopy's out in fifth. I think it's,
Spoops.
I think it's clearly, like, first and second between Jalob and Johnny and Selly, and then third place is going to be Moira and Calvin and Carrington and Laurel. Which I would imagine, I don't know, it's sort of like...
I imagine it goes Moira and Calvin.
I think, yeah, I think if people are not a fan of Carrington, then yeah, I think they're
which
sort
they
of
are clearly fourth not. Place.
And I would say if Bennett and Lakin were like more significant, they might like, Carrington could have gotten voted out beforehand.
Yeah.
He just came in too late, I think.
Yeah, I think puts you in a rough spot.
Given that there's no more coupling ups, I think that Calvin, Carrington and Laurel could have like a little bit of a boost in popularity, but also with Caleb and Justine winning this one, Jalob fans don't get comfy. I'm sure that every other couple's fans are going to be motivated to vote even more
exactly.
Now. So, you know, they're going to know that they need to vote more than they were before. And you got to keep going.
Fingers crossed, though.
Please.
So last question. Mancy wants to know how Caleb is going to ask Justine to be his girlfriend.
Hopefully not a scavenger hunt.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the question is like, when you have someone in the villa who's a close friend of yours who already did it, like what?
See, I don't think Caleb cares. I think he's just like, we don't need labels. We are the best.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe he'll do it the morning after the hideaway, like just in the privacy. Like, like to your point, I don't think he needs a spectacle about it, because I don't think Justine is that person.
I don't think you need
that's
it.
That's the way to go.
But it doesn't hurt. So I think there's a good chance I'm eyeing that final date episode. Think maybe, that we might be getting some titles there.
I thought he was going to go for it during
me too.
Whatever like fountain view they were looking at, but that didn't happen. So,
well, and I feel like it just makes sense for them to really define the relationship right before that finale vote. Have it fresh in everyone's mind. Let people forget about the Johnny and Selly relationship.
I think exactly. He needs to make himself a human charcuterie board. Eat like meat and cheese off of him.
What's great is that in this villa, anything could be a charcuterie board. So
that's true.
Yeah.
He cover himself with just all types of food and just call himself a charcuterie board.
I love charcuterie.
Incredible.
Ice cream charcuterie board.
Mm. Yeah, you want an ice cream charcuterie social. I prepared you a delicious charcuterie.
All right, I gotta go.
Anyways, I think on that note, it's a great time for us to say that we've reached the end of another amazing Love Island recap. We've reached
a promo for Caesars.
You do a really good impression of Matt Hoffman playing Caesars. Like, it's actually very good.
I am married to Matt Hoffman.
I don't even know how to do a regular Matt Hoffman impression.
Yeah, that's, you don't need to.
Do the Caesars.
The promo for Caesars is all that matters, truly.
I just really enjoy the way he says it. It's very funny.
I think it's always so funny because it's like already very obviously an ad, and he's like, I got you.
He leaned into a lot this year, and I think it worked.
This one was very scary, though, when they showed footage of many people. Yeah. And you're like, is this?
It was like the scene from The Matrix where they have that like gyrating rave. And like,
oh my God,
I was very concerned. And I was like, is this happening now?
So people Morpheus is going to offer you the red pill to go to Caesars.
I was like, people should not be gathering in these kinds of crowds.
And I hope that they're not. Right.
I hope nobody gets any ideas.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Okay, so thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Fun. We love you.
We love you. You two are awesome.
Yeah, we listen every week. It's a blast.
Stop. Wait, like together?
No, of course not.
But we listen separately and we talk about it.
And sometimes we do listen in the car together.
They set the family down, put Asher and Lily Bloom puppy dog right in the middle.
She wants none of it.
They gather around the Google Home and
we dial up the phone, Moring, and then we
Moira.
Moiroing.
We just completely butchered the portmanteau at this point.
I don't remember what it was.
It was Moiring.
Moiring.
Like Moira and Boring. And now it turned to Moirong.
It was Moirong.
You've messed with the Moirong girl.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it's been a pleasure. We do really enjoy listening to you guys. Yeah, so it's been great being on.
I don't know. I'm a little sad it's coming to an end. It feels like it snuck up on us. How do you two feel? Is it this sort of like the end of a marathon for you?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like I'm going to be like, oh, I'm so tired. I want a break. I need to sleep. And then it's going to actually be over. And I'm going to be like, where is my 3-time-a-week podcast with Scally?
But it also has been really nice having something to watch, like in the morning, like when we're getting ready for work, like we'll put on Love Island, make breakfast, and we like watch
Up some bananas,
slice up those bananas, put them on some crusted bread
with your eggs.
It's strange. It's very strange losing both the podcast and the show. I'll have time for like 15 more shows to watch, like lots of free time.
Yeah, it's true that it does take up a lot.
Well, and I also finished Downton Abbey this week, so I'm already really sad about that. Oof.
Yeah, that's rough.
Oh, wow.
But did you watch the movie yet?
Yeah, I'm done the movie, too. Ugh. I know. Ugh. We can talk offline about that.
We will.
So, Angela, Mike, we'll go Angela first. If people want more from you, where can they find you?
So, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, at Ange Pelagi. Yeah, you can follow me there.
And also follow Lily Bloom Puppy Dog.
Yeah, follow Lily Bloom Puppy Dog. She's probably the best little influencer in the house.
Yeah, but Angela posts really funny videos and photos of our son. So if you want like a first-hand
view, basically it.
Asher, that's like the repository.
It's like dogs and babies all over my Instagram.
That's what the internet wants.
I think so.
You just have to get a cat too to really round out like the audience.
I'm allergic.
She's allergic to cats.
Why do all the people I love have cat allergies?
It's okay. I can be around them. I just can't have one myself.
I think
like I can't like can't live in my home. But I can like snuggle it for a little bit. Ugh. Papa Benny.
Papa Benny. Okay.
She then, said casually.
I love it too, because it's like, to me, when you said Papa, it was like P-A-P-A, like Papa. Yeah. And then I thought of Benny from Papa this Benny. Season of Love Island. No. And it's like, Papa Benny, he's father.
Oh, Papa Benadryl for all the uninitiated.
I can't believe my brother Johnny got involved with this girl who's sleeping with Papa Benny.
Papa, no. Don't preach.
I'm having my Benny.
I'm having my Benny.
Okay.
And on that note.
Mike, where can people find you?
Twitter and Instagram at a Mike Bloom type. Lots of stuff going on. Obviously, the Big Brother B&B with Liana Boris. We have a very fun illustration heavy edition of the B&B with Ali Lasher. I'm also doing exit press for Parade.com for Big Brother, covering Lost with Josh Wiggler on Down the Hatch over on Post Show Recaps. And coming up, you know, while one CBS reality show is going away in like 3 weeks, The Amazing Race is coming back. The cast got released, doing Star Trek stuff as well. And who knows, maybe a little bit down the line later on in the year, I'll be doing some other stuff with my better half here about some other shows. So
we got plans,
and there's some Brant Steels coming up as well. It's maybe spooky season, but Brant Steels are also coming up as well.
Boom. That's so much. I hope you also find some time to sleep at some point.
And take care of your family.
Yeah, like, wow, spend some time with your family. No.
We're not even talking to the microphone.
Nope.
She put it down, and it's like it's this distance to the screen that they're watching their family.
Well, now it's talking. Like you're being, like, people get to be, you know, privy to a private car. Scally, where can people find more of you?
I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
Well, and you have a Big Brother podcast coming up, don't you?
That is true. I will be on the live feed update with Taryn tomorrow, so you can check that out either live or in your feeds.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. We love that. I started this podcast not at my best, and I feel like I've only gone downhill.
No, you started at the top and you ended at the top.
So if people want to hear more from me, they can see me on social media at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. I was recently the final episode recap guest on the Choir Room for the episode The Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester, because yes, quarantine has been long enough for them to cover the full series of Glee.
Oh yeah. No, like they covered it in the span of, I think, 5 months, yeah. I want to say.
They zoomed through, and there will be more content there to keep an eye out for. But yeah, definitely go check out the Choir Room. It is incredible. And I'm going to be on the Thursday night episode recap for Big Brother this week for the triple eviction. So
holy moly. I mean, you are the requisite Canadian, so I think it makes sense.
They have to have a Canadian for a triple eviction. And so that's why I'll be there with, I believe, another Canadian as well. I don't want to say in case I'm wrong. But thank you everyone for coming to another Love Island recap with us. Thank you to Will from America for our theme song. And thank you to the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast for making this possible. Check out robhaswebsite.com/patron. And Scally, what do we have for iTunes? I forgot.
Let's see, where are we at for iTunes? I want to make sure I get an updated
Stop surfing
number.
For my a cappella group albums and go to your iTunes feed.
I was just going
to
play it in the microphone for an outro. Let me see. We are at 121 ratings, so smash the goal of 100. Thank you guys so much. Means a lot. And
that's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah.
Very excited.
And again, we love it and it makes us feel good. It gives us a rush of dopamine. So if you want to bring us joy, you could also go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review at robhaswebsite.com/loveislandpod.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. I was about to be like, bye. Bye. Bye, everybody.
If you're looking for love, well, you've come to the wrong place, because Kirsten and Scally, well, they don't know a thing, and the men that they cast on this show are truly a disgrace. So we don't care about the love they need. might be there. Yeah, we just want to see the drama.